listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
All right. Bottles on me, long as someone drink it. Never drop the ball, fuck is y'all thinking? Making sure the Young Money ship is never sinking. About to set it off in this bitch, Jada Pinkett. I shouldn't have drove, tell me how I'm getting home. You too fine to be laying down in bed alone. I could teach you how to speak my language, Rosetta Stone. I swear this life is the sweetest thing I ever known. About to go Thriller Mike Jackson on these niggas. All I need is a fucking red jacket with some zippers. Super good Smith Oak, a package of the Swishers. I did it overnight, it couldn't happen any quicker. Y'all know them well, fucking me either, but point to the biggest skeptic out, I make them a believer. It wouldn't be the first time I done it, throwing hundreds when I should be throwing ones, bitch, I run it. Ah, hey, welcome to the Black Guy Tips podcast, your host Rod and
Karen.
We're live on what's today, Monday, Tuesday, live on a Tuesday. That's right, because Black Lightning was last night, that was Monday. Mm-hmm. All these CW shows moving around, it's hard to keep track,
ain't it though.
You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, search The Black Guy Who Tips, leave us 5-star reviews. We appreciate everyone that does that. It helps us out tremendously. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and an unofficial sport,
bullet ball.
And bullet ball, extreme. I have to say, guys, we got a sponsor and we need to, you know, play some sponsor music. Let me see if I can find some good sponsor music. How about you know what? Let me go to my list for the black women's and the gays and see what we can find. All right, there's all kinds of stuff here. I feel like I already did this one. I don't think I've done this in a while.
Can you feel it, baby? I can.
See, back then R&B stars had to ask you questions to start the song.
Come on, a 15-minute introduction.
Okay, they wanted some consent. They didn't just want to go all in like these young people. But anyway, free stuff is the best. But free stuff that will ignite your Valentine's Day is even better. Check this out. When you go to adamandeve.com and select almost any one item, you'll get 50% off. That's amazing by itself, but here's where they load on the free stuff.
Come on.
When you enter my exclusive code at checkout, TBGWT, not only do you get 50% off of one item, you also get 10, count them, 10. I promise you this deal is not gonna last. I'm not joking. You have until Valentine's Day 10 tantalizing free items. What could they be? First of all, for your viewing pleasure, 6 free movies. God damn. 6 free movies, okay?
6 of them.
This is not that stuff you find on the porn sites where mm-mm. It could be any amount of minutes.
They're professional.
People come too fast. People come mm-mm. too slow.
They got makeup and everything.
The webcam is a little shaky upload. No, we're talking professional quality adult film actors, okay? Next, a free mystery packet that includes an item for him, a special toy for her, and something we know you'll both enjoy. And I say mix it up, okay? Don't let gender roles define y'all in the mm-hmm. bedroom. Y'all do what y'all need to do. Plus, on top of that, you get free shipping. Now that is a Valentine's Day, okay?
Come on, for anybody.
So head on over to adamandeve.com. Be sure to use offer code TBGWT. Again, that's TBGWT. Because without it, there'll be no free Valentine stuff. You want your 10 items, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
That's TBGWT at adamandeve.com. Go and get it. I'll be sure.
Come on.
Had them light skinned men's in at the time.
Yes, he did. He's sexy ass. He got a son. His son looked just like him, too.
And then Christopher Williams came and dropped the ball. Remember
Dream
that?
With me. I'm dreaming.
Yes. If I'm dreaming, then just let me sleep. Yes.
And then Wesley Snipes stabbed that nigga in the hand in the movie, and it changed everything for the black man. The dark skin colorism was out.
Am I my brother's keeper?
Mm-hmm. Sit your $5 ass down before I make change. That's all it took. And then just like that, light skinned man was out. That was crazy. Mm-hmm. Between pop killing dude in Juice and this,
Miss Hawkins,
it's a hard time for the light skinned man. But they back. I feel like it's kind of even
though. They back in full force.
Mm-hmm. But none of them was in full force. Interesting. All right, let's talk about stuff. Took yesterday off, kinda. We still worked.
Right. For premium people, we worked.
Well, kinda. So, for premium people, we did a Lip Smacking Good episode, which is out on the premium feed right now. You can just go check it out, Lip Smacking Good. It was fun. Karen interviewed Nicole Taylor, food culturist. And we talked food news, and we talked meal of the week and all that stuff. It was really cool. So hopefully you guys check that out if you're premium. For non-premium people, I did a freemium episode of Medium Talk where I interviewed Feminista Jones. She has a book out called Reclaiming Our Space, and go check out that interview. It's already in your feed if you're listening to this right now, wherever you are. It was yesterday's quote-unquote episode.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a fun interview, man. You know, we've known her for a long time. I know we were one of the first podcasts that was like, hey, come on our podcast, you know. So we me and her had a good chat, and it ended up feeling more like a talk than an interview, but I guess that's a sign of a good, to me, that's a sign of a fun interview. So hopefully people enjoy it and leave feedback for both of those shows. So now we have today's show. Okay, guys, it's time to get into it. I guess before we start anything, I would like to say we did get mentioned in the New York Times.
We did.
You know, it happens sometimes, you know, when you just out here grinding, doing your thing, doing what you do, you know. Sometimes people, you know, you look up and somebody tags you in a tweet and they're like, hey, you got mentioned in the New York Times. It's like, what?
I know, New York.
New York City.
Right?
but yeah, we got mentioned in, they had an article called A Beginner's Guide to Getting Into Podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And they talked to some people that were either podcasters or people that listen to podcasts, things of this nature, and they interviewed a guy named James T. Green, who's a Brooklyn-based artist and audio producer. It means experimental audio, like the work showcased on Constellations, a Canadian audio art podcast, and The Black Guy Who Tips, a comedy and current events talk show created by Charlotte, North Carolina husband and wife pair Rod and Karen Morrow. Mr. Green has listened to the couple for years, ever since a dull desk job led to him to search Black Podcast in the Apple Podcast directory.
Shout out to Black Podcast. And this is so, over the years, so many people have said, I was like, I want something black, and they put black and we popped up. So, you know, I am glad that black is in the name, because otherwise I don't know if some of y'all would even found us.
Right. That's a good point, because I definitely was gonna name, you know, if Karen wouldn't have been hesitant to put her name on this, this probably would be called the Rod and Karen Show and a lot less popular. Nobody would know about us, but it worked out. And it goes on to say, he says, I listened to all the NPR standards, but I was really interested in hearing from people like me, and I wanted to hear black voices. And what do you know, guys? We're black voices. Blood out in your face. Did y'all know? Have y'all been listening? Y'all didn't understand?
I know. And another reason why I like having black in our name, because you know what you're getting. Mm-hmm. Well, you don't really know what you're getting when you click play, but because Rod and Karen, I ain't trying to find them, very generic names, so we'd have got a bunch of white people going, hey.
Yeah.
I come, you know, thinking I was going to get one thing. Y'all did the switcheroo on me.
It just means that all the haters picked the wrong people to back. That's all. You should have stuck with us, okay? You hated on us, and now look at you. Out there in the non-New York Times listed wilderness. Because when we get mentioned, everybody that fuck with us get mentioned. That's how I look
you,
at it.
And me and Roger truly believe this. If us or anybody that's associated with us getting written about or good things happen to them, it happens to all of us. Because when you mention us, everybody else rises too.
Yeah, I feel bad for people that really honestly truly can't celebrate they friends' victories as right. much as theirs and the people they know's victory. I really do, because you robbing yourself of a lot of joy, and maybe you can't help it. Maybe it's just the way people's brains work. And
correct.
There's this scarcity syndrome that especially happens sometimes to marginalized people, where they like, this black person got on, well, I need to tell them what's wrong and to take them down, because there needs to be another better black person up there. And we do it as, because whether you admit it or not, the white supremacy you've accepted is that there can only be one. Correct. There's only a few spots. And if so-and-so is getting the spot, then he needs to go because so-and-so needs to get the spot instead. And all of it ends up being about white people, who they're listening to, their gaze, their money, their influence. It's never about a genuine, true, like, how do we make it so that there's more people on that stage? Not one, not a different person. More, because it's not, if the whole system is to bring one person in and listen to them, then the system is fucked up, and we got to right. stop blaming black people for a system that's fucked up. Individual black people can't possibly represent the millions of black people throughout America, not to mention the entire diaspora of the world. Like, it's impossible. So but it happens nonetheless. Like, you know, people will be like, well, we shouldn't have so-and-so get a, like, Issa Rae show isn't good enough, because what about the black people that feel like this? Right, there should be more than one black show on HBO.
Come on.
That's the point. Not, let's take this black show off because it's not aligned perfectly with your politics. Not, your politics aren't the only fucking ones, and you don't and you also don't represent all black people.
Mm-mm.
We have different opinions about things,
different life experiences, you know?
We don't have to respect each other's opinions, we don't have to agree, but recognize that there are different opinions than yours, and you're not the only one that feels a certain way. You know, there has to be some respect given to that. So anyway, we just from jump never treated podcasting that way. That's why we've had so many guests, we've been guests on so many people's shows, because we just never treated it like, you know, this nigga gonna get listeners and they gonna leave my show and then what I'm gonna do. Like, but a lot of people have treated it that way, and I think the proof is in the pudding. Now, I mean, honestly, we're not the most successful podcast, we're not the most known podcast. There's black podcasts that are bigger than us,
mm-hmm.
that are sponsored by bigger companies, like right. well, sponsored by companies, period, and all that stuff, that got celebrity, all that stuff. Like, so we're still grinding, but I'm happy to say the way we do things, it that means things can still be done. It's not like there's only one path for black people.
Right. And one thing I can also truly say, that, like I told you before, we're doing this our way, and this is our path, like, and we'll go wherever the path takes us. And that's the beautiful thing about what we do. And the thing is, we will reach our audience, whoever they are, and our audience will get as big as it's destined to get, in my opinion. And I feel as long as we continue to do the things we do, we'll continue to grow, we'll continue to reach out to others, we'll continue to support other people. Because before, when you was talking about how people hoard, we've been doing this for a very long time. We've had fans come, we've had fans leave, you know, we've had podcasters that associate with us, and now podcasters that don't over the years. And that's just a part of the game, and a lot, and there's no hard feelings, you know. It's no, it's just about us and only us. No, I don't feel like that, because like you say, when other people succeed, we all succeed. And this regardless of the relationship with that person. If you succeed, and that's how I view it. I know everybody else don't view it like that, because a lot of times when you build these real relationships, and I'm not talking about the fake relationships, when you build real relationships, the relationships matter. And when you have a voice and you begin to speak about other people, people will go check those other people out because they're associated with you.
Yeah, and I think it's good. Like, all mm-hmm. this shit is good. It's, you know, it's good to hear other opinions. Like, I don't think people fully realize, when I talk about I listen to other podcasts that don't agree with me, especially if they're from black people, I do it on purpose. It's intentional. I want to know what else is out there.
Correct.
How popular this thinking is. When I don't agree, it helps me to either formulate my arguments better, or it helps me to at least realize and empathize with people coming from the other spectrum on things. Mm-hmm. A lot of times it informs me of other stuff that I wasn't aware of, and sometimes it changes my mind. I'm like, I didn't know this. Boom. Okay, cool. They just changed my mind. And I think giving people credit where it's due, mentioning people, where you got something from, at least to me, it matters, you know? And there may always be a little bit of, there's going to always be some tension about stuff because you want to give people credit, but then there's always this other side where people are like, don't bring me too much attention and people are bothering me or something like that. But I try to just give credit where I hear shit.
Right.
You know, if I hear somebody and I'm like, I don't agree with them, but they're black, they're making a quality product, let me go check it out, I'll check it out. You know, sometimes it is too far and you're like, I'll never go back and listen to that shit. But sometimes it's like, yo, these people got a point. Maybe I need to think of things differently. So anyway, I do feel like people need to you know, spread the word about black podcasting. That's huge of James to mention us,
right?
Because he didn't have to do that. Mm-mm. You know, he could have picked any show. He could, you know, like, he could have said, I don't know, I just listened to fucking This American Life, and that would have been the end of it, you know? And there's no shade to This American Life, but mm-hmm. they're huge, you know?
Yes.
It's not like they're sitting around like, man, we need help. You know, they probably got an entire fucking article about New York Times.
Right.
But you know, the whole point, like, especially when you're black, and the kind of black show we are, we don't always resonate with the kind of white people that have power, influence, money, mm-hmm. reach. People with bigger companies, bigger brands, probably scared of niggas like us because we say nigga, and we're not, the whole show doesn't become like, oh, what's the white people in the room gonna think? Like, our show isn't that. Like, we're not.
Yeah, because we don't assume that you're stupid. We assume that you can comprehend and you can fully understand.
Well, not just that, but like, you, like, white people are the center of everything.
Correct.
So I, like, to me, in my mind, I think you can tell this as a podcast listener. If you listen to podcasts a lot, you understand when I listen to somebody, I can kind of tell who they're talking to.
Yes, sir.
And their black shows, marginalized shows, not just black, there's shows by LGBT people, there's shows by Asian people, you know, different. And you can tell when people's audience in their head is still white people.
Yep.
They're still kind of talking to white folks. And while I'm invited to listen just like the rest of the public, I'm not really there because they want me to be there. I'm just there, you know? And I'm not gonna name any names because I don't want no problems, to be honest, but you know, you can tell. And so I think when people hear our show, hopefully they can tell we really talking to people like us. Like, we really talking to other black people. We really talking about our community. The same rules apply. I don't care if people that aren't in our community listen. I mean, right. I can't control that.
Right.
But these conversations, these things we talk about are mostly, unless we specifically say so, addressed to us. And so once you do that, it becomes harder to quote unquote crossover. If this is a podcast explaining racism to white people, the 30 million podcast doing that, or if we were, you know, doing something where we were, you know, pleading with the world to see our humanity, and it's like, white people, can't you understand? We probably would have blown up bigger than we are now. We probably mm-hmm. would be mm-hmm. like, somebody would have came in and co-signed us or whatever. If we were out here saying, if we were fussing at black people all the time, like, black people, y'all need to do better, and these white people is right about us, and then we would have, somebody would have come through and been like, we need to elevate these people. But for us, we've had a longer climb, we've worked harder, we're more self-sufficient. I'm thankful for the lessons,
mm-hmm.
Because I'd rather be this and be able to say what the fuck I want to say.
Come on.
But yeah, this stuff is so real because of that. And I think, you know, when we have a moment like this, I celebrate it, because you know why? Because all the little pricks, all the little things people say, do, all the little negative things, we see that shit too. It gets to us too, you know? And then sometimes you end up not celebrating the milestones. You don't celebrate what you should be happy about because you're so concentrating on the negative. And I know that's the thing that I can do. You know, my brain will obsess over like, oh, I didn't make this person happy, or this person didn't like this thing I said, or this thing I did. But I never stop and go, man, we've made almost 2,000 episodes of this shit.
We sure have, sir.
We at this point have been self-sufficient for 5 years. Like, we're independently owned black business. you know, we're not kissing anybody's ass to be mentioned in the New York Times. We're not kissing anybody's ass to be written about in Ebony. We're not kissing anybody's ass, you know, to be at these conferences. We're getting asked. We're not pursuing these things in a way. I feel bad because people will ask like for advice and I'm like, I don't really have a lot of advice. We've been very lucky. This is random shit that we got mentioned today, but I'm gonna celebrate it.
Yes.
So, and I'm glad that people can celebrate with us, and I'm gonna concentrate on just those people because, like I said, you know, there's always gonna be somebody out there like, fuck them, why them? But, you know, it's a lot more people that's like, yeah, why not them?
Right. And the thing is, like you said, you have to focus on the positive because people were sharing, because I didn't even know, because I was, didn't really pay attention to online at work today. So, you know, when you look and I was like, oh, okay, then I've seen people posting it and it just makes you feel good that
yeah.
we're loved and we're supported, other podcasters, you know, it's a lot of positivity out there, and the positivity and the love outshines the negativity. And because it's just light and it's just positive. And for me personally, like you said, you have to sit back and go, you know what, we have been working hard, we have been doing these things, we have been grinding. And I think out of all the things, to me the thing that's most important is the fact that we are supported. It's people across the board, but the bulk of people that support us, particularly financially, are Black people. Mm-hmm. And so it's one of those things where Black people can sustain Black people. We do love us, we will support us, we will give to us. And it's very frustrating because a lot of people have a myth that Black people don't support Black people, and that's not true. That's not true at all. We'll give and support anybody else. Ask these Black women that are thousandaires and millionaires off of creating a product strictly for Black women. Mm-hmm. Nobody, you know, not that other people can't buy the product, but the product is for 4C hair. Ain't nobody got it but us. Mm-hmm. You know, so we will support us, and it's a good thing, and it's very heartwarming, and it makes you feel good inside. And it's one of those things where you go, you know what, I'm going to enjoy my flowers while I'm alive.
And we've been able to do it by being authentic. I cannot stress that enough. We have been able to be authentic. It's why I've never fucking got on here and worried about like, oh, it's a lie out there we told, or it's some shit we started, we trying to get people. No, we've been able to be 100% like, this is just us. This podcast is like sitting down with us at a table. Like, that's the fucking feeling I wanted when we started this shit. It's the vibe we've had now for 10 years basically, and like, I'm so proud of that. And it's, and we've never, and it's such, if y'all understand, like, that sounds so simple now, right? Because it's 10 years later, y'all been listening to the podcast. Many of y'all think like, well, this is what podcasting is. Not when we started. Okay, there's a lot of personas, there's a lot of I'm not gonna give you my name. You know, I'm too cool for school. There was a lot of like, I'm going to be the most controversial person I can be. I'm going to say whatever it takes to get attention. I'm going to go full Hotep on y'all. I'm going to go full Republican on y'all. I'm going to troll Black women on y'all. Like, there was a lot of that stuff under the auspices, whether it was humor, whether it was serious, whether it was just, you know, I want to get the most attention. There was a lot of people doing that. You know, and at the time, we were one of the few shows that was like, it's just Rod and Karen.
That's it.
We're just talking. Like we, and it was so new. I think we were going by our Twitter names to start, kind of. It was like, you know, I mean, I think we said Rod and Karen, but it was like, say that again, Rod and Miss Prime.
Yeah,
like,
but I said, if you hung around long enough, my Twitter handle was at Y00227.
Right. So it was, yeah, exactly. So we had that, you know, that type of, vibe when we started, but we were like, we need, the first thing we want to figure out after we figure out how to record, obviously, was how do we record with other people that aren't here? Like, that was a new thing for us.
A brand
new thing. Not everybody was doing it, because before this, you know, it was a lot of, podcasting wasn't that popular. Wireless calling and recording from your computer wasn't that popular. So, mm-hmm. you know, you had to get, you know, some type of way. And we were like, we rigged the fuck out of it. It was a blue snowball USB mic. It was speakers from the PC that we had, the desktop speakers. It was everything, but we figured a fucking way out to make it work. But that vibe was the whole point. The vibe was, you know, this isn't the Rod and Karen show and fuck everybody else. It was, this is our show, but we want to kind of celebrate all the people we fuck with, all the community. And now we've gotten so busy, sometimes it feels like we're not able to get as many people on. But then I'll stop and think about it and look around. I'm like, nah, we got Feminist Jones on, we got Blair on, that was just this week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Nicole Taylor. So we still doing it, you know, but it's just become second nature at this point. Sometimes to slow things down, we'll have a lot of episodes of just me and you with scheduling and stuff, because it's honestly hard to do scheduling as well as other things with our schedules. But but I still like that vibe of sharing, because that's kind of, that's us. And we were one of the first people, if not the first people, doing that. And I'm 100% sure on that. And we changed the game with that, because now everybody does it.
Mm-hmm.
Like big time people. Like I was listening to Dan Le Batard, he had Neil Brennan calling, and they did a podcast. Now obviously Dan Le Batard probably never heard of us in his fucking life, but that's that influence, because that was 10 years ago. Like it wasn't that many podcasts, it definitely wasn't that many people doing call-in guests and shit, you know. So anyway, all that to say, thank you for the mention in the New York Times.
Yes, thank you. And to kind of piggyback on what you saying, because you go back sometimes, you reflect over the years and the growth and the heartache and pain, because it hasn't always been pretty, you know, in the personal development, because the people we are now, we aren't the same people that we used to be. You know, we've both grown together and we've both grown individually, and it's one of those things, like you said, sometimes you have to go back and kind of look where you've been, and you go, wow, like we've been through a lot. And a lot of our fans have been through a lot, because the thing is, when we grow and, you know, we become quote unquote get more popular and stuff like that, our fans are like, hey, we made it. And we actually did made it, because, you know, for some of y'all, we've been with some of y'all through children, through death, through births, through divorces, you know, through dating, through all types of things, through sickness. Like, you know, we've been doing this for so long, you know, a lot of y'all, we've been a big fraction of your life. And so it's one of those things where I think that connection to our audience makes our audience happy for us.
All right, let's get into the news now. All right, we had a couple of days off, let's think about things. One of the things that happened, Azealia Banks criticized Cardi B for not speaking out on the ethnic cleansing of the Dominican Republic.
Okay.
This is what we doing? It has been a while. She's just killing my
where car. Like when you like start call, like you got those.
She really. Does she have music? Like, is it coming out?
I don't know.
Does it exist any, like, is there new stuff on the way? Like, how come the articles are never like, Azealia Banks puts out new single, Azealia Banks
new mixtape,
number one on the charts, Azealia Banks, like, what does she do? It's like she a professional social media troll that happens to also make music sometimes. What is happening? And don't write in talking about her music, because y'all niggas know what the fuck I mean. Come on, man. It's like being like, you know, Bill Cosby had a sitcom. Like, get the fuck out of my face. Y'all know exactly what I mean when I'm talking about this. And one of you snowflake ass niggas always writes in to be like, but I ain't listening to her music. Well, whoop the fucking do. I guarantee you, when you walk around and you're like, so I was listening to Azealia Banks, people say, what she said about Cardi? Cause nobody knows what you're talking about. Nobody, it's not a whole big ass collective of people out there that are more fans of her music that also haven't heard this bullshit. And if she your fave, I know it's gotta suck. It's gotta be like, it's worse than being Erykah Badu fave. Like, that's your fave. Cause at least with Erykah Badu, we got, oh yeah, them hits. Oh yeah, them albums. Oh yeah, I forgot. Yeah. She's problematic. I wish she never got on Twitter. But other than that, yes, of course. This is terrible. I would love to see Cardi say something about the leaders of the Dominican Republic, about his ethnic cleansing and deportation of Haitians. Going after Trump is just an easy way to get press. Keep in mind, she's defended Trump before. She said she supports Trump before. She goes back and forth on that all the time. Don't chastise Trump and Tommy Lauren for being racist if you can't be bothered to criticize your own people about the rampant racism in the Dominican Republic. In the next post, she goes on to say the Dominican Republic literally does the same thing to Haitians that Americans been doing to Trump, Trump is doing with Latin American immigrants and migrant workers. It would actually be an excellent PR move, and I think she's influential enough to really make some changes there. Would help a lot of poor Haitians and Dominicans of Haitian descent have access to jobs, healthcare, housing, etc. So the way I see it is, yes, Cardi could do that. There you go. She could do that. Where's the music, sis? I mean, we know the things you've said. We know about the skin lightening. We know about your support endorsing Donald Trump. We know about your other things. It just don't feel genuine coming from you. I think I can say that. And I do think that, yes, Cardi could do that. Cardi could talk. There's a lot of causes Cardi could talk about. And, you know, like all celebrities, my personal opinion is no celebrities under any obligation to speak out about anything.
No, they're not.
Just like a regular non-famous person isn't required to do any of this stuff. It's nice when people do it, and I applaud people that do it, but nobody's required to do it, you know? So we'll see. But God, what's wrong with her?
Yeah, it's like ain't nobody said my name in a while, so here I come.
Also in internet news, Terry Crews rips into DL Hughley. Should I slap the shit out of you? I guess he's had enough.
Enough of y'all shit.
Terry Crews has had enough of being bullied by the likes of Tariq Nasheed, 50 Cent, especially DL Hughley. The actor led into the comedian after back and forth on Twitter. Yeah, the Tariq Nasheed thing is interesting because I saw Howard Dean tell him to shut the fuck up on Twitter the other day. And of course Terry Crews was going at him. And this may be a bit of a controversial opinion, and I wouldn't really relay this too much on social media because I'm not trying to shame anybody. I get people are responding because we're human and we're black and we got our own responses. But just on a particularly content creator point of view, I don't think the best course of action is to mention Tariq Nasheed directly on social media and try to engage him in a back and forth that implies there's some sort of good faith on both sides. No matter how well intentioned, that's what he wants. He wants you to go back and forth with him, and it's really how he gets a second life. It gives his people somebody to target. It gives him somebody to be mad at. And then because he doesn't have to tell the truth over there, he can just be like, that's because you do this for white people, or you got a white spouse, or you love whiteness, or you a coon, and then it's just a bunch of people in people's mentions, and it's a whole bunch of people that are very fucked up that you know, kind of worship that dude and troll with that dude, and whether they think it's funny or not, giving those people space, platform, engagement, that's all he cares about. Is Howard Dean telling him to shut the fuck up? I'm sure he's over there now like, I'm on the FBI watch list because I said Kamala Harris was a nappy head or some stupid shit. I didn't see the comments because I got him muted and blocked and shit.
Come on,
whatever he said, and this is just, you know, the way I see it, like whatever he said is to get this reaction. Mm-hmm. And I saw people cheering on Terry Crews and cheering on Howard Dean, and I get it. I'm not saying that I get why people feel that those things should be applauded. I'm just saying he's not the kind of person that if President Obama would have walked in this house and say, please stop doing this, that Tariq Nasheed would then turn around and be like, okay, I'm gonna stop. There's no point. You know, when he engages black feminists and shit, the point is for you to respond, it gives them more fodder. Now, I don't tell people this stuff on social media because, one, they gonna get mad at you. They gonna definitely think it's some black man shit where I'm trying to tell them to be quiet, but I wouldn't say nothing to Tariq Nasheed. No, I'm saying even if it was me, I wouldn't say anything back to him. I don't act the nigga on social media. I just blocked him and moved the fuck on because, you know, the people that think that one day they're gonna get him, it doesn't matter. He could be married to a whole ass white woman and it wouldn't matter. He could be fucking anything he does, it doesn't matter. Dude put out a music album and his people fuck with it. They go download it and support it. Like, and they don't go, this belittles his quote-unquote activism and his racial opinion. So this idea that somebody's gonna tell him and he's gonna finally get it, I don't know, maybe it's the lowered expectations of the bar for black men. It's like, well, he'll get it someday, but I promise y'all wasting y'all time. I promise y'all are. But what do I know? I could be wrong. Maybe one day he'll wake up, but I don't think it's happening, especially for the fact that he's smart enough to know what he's doing is fucked up and not true.
Yes, he is.
So I wouldn't do it if I was y'all. But anyway, Terry Crews did feel like doing it, and I think he's been encouraged to by a lot of the people on social media and the people that are like, black men need to go at black men to do this. Like I said, it's an unpopular opinion, and maybe people feel it's hypocritical, but it's not. Some of these niggas are not worth saving, and they're not your friend. And just because they black don't mean shit. There are some black people that will fuck you up in the name of blackness and don't give a fuck about you and will never be persuaded the other way.
Nope. Sometimes I hate to be like this, and I love everybody, but sometimes you gotta look at a nigga and be like, you know what, you gonna have to drown. Somebody's got to save you on this. Yeah. One, dog, it ain't gonna be me.
Stacey Dash, you know, these people, Dominant Silk, they either know what they're doing or they're complicit. You can't save these motherfuckers. And I feel the same way about the Super Hotep niggas. Just because they're doing it under the auspices of blackness don't make it okay.
No,
it's still fucked up, and that's if you believe them. And I don't believe half these niggas,
right? And everybody don't want to be saved. That's right. Something else people got to understand too. It's some people drowning, know they're drowning, and don't care.
Well, people like that to me are the same as mega church pastors.
That
they don't even have to believe that shit. They make money saying crazy shit.
Yes, and I feel the same way about a lot of the people that spat out white supremacy shit. They make,
yeah, some of them not even really racist.
No, they're not.
And I don't mean that in some like, they, you know, let them go, they not racist. No, I mean it's even worse. You don't even believe the shit, but you know you're gonna get this money. You can make a lot. There's a lot of money in hating black women.
Come on.
Which is so funny, because when people say stuff like, y'all pander to black women, or, you know, I always get the, you know, the shit where they're like, the bar is so low, and our society is so misogynistic, so sexist, so racist. People say to, like, if I'm saying like, yeah, man, this is fucked up. We, black women are getting, you know, this is unfair. What's happening to this black woman? You ain't gonna get no pussy. What you think you gonna get out of this? Because we can't imagine a world where a black man just looks at his sister and is like, yeah, what's happening to her isn't right. We should do something about that.
Right, and I don't want to put my dick in her.
Yeah, they can't imagine a world where there's just no, where the benefit is we both will be, you being unburdened unburdens us both. That's the benefit. The benefit isn't, and then I'm gonna get a check, and then I'm gonna, and then, and so, but they tell a lot about themselves, right? Because that is his thinking. His mind frame is, I'm exploiting black men. I'm exploiting their misogyny. I'm exploiting their anti-blackness. I'm exploiting their own self-hatred into this. And he's making money doing it. And he's on YouTube getting views doing it. You're never going to stop him. He's got a, it's lucrative for him to engage and think you can talk him down is asinine. You just got to let him cook. So yeah, I know. And like I said, I know it felt good to see him slammed on social media. But unlike even a D.L. Hewley, there is no avenue to get him to shut the fuck up, right? Unless you're gonna figure a way to get him off of YouTube, which I know people have tried and it hasn't worked, you know. And good luck, because they got the alt-right on there. It's like, anyway, good luck everybody. So Terry wrote on Twitter, I've looked up to you my whole career. He's talking about D.L. Hewley. As one of the funniest, most talented people I've ever seen. And I remember, when I saw you warming up the crowd at Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and I thought, this man is a genius. But now you are an example of when comedy turns to sarcasm and cynicism. And you find it extremely funny to get jokes at someone else's expense. You mock my success, but all I ever did was support you. He continued, you, 50 Cent, Uncle Rush, and Tariq Nasheed have decided my sexual assault was hilarious, whereas there are a whole generation of black women and men who don't think it's funny. Abusers protect abusers, but they mock survivors as well. When you see me, keep it moving. Cruz also referenced one of the many times D.L. Hewley cracked jokes about Cruz. So I guess on Vlad TV, D.L. Hewley went on there and talked about Terry Crews.
What do you think of the whole Terry Crews thing?
I think it's hard for me to think that a dude with all those muscles can't tell an agent to not touch his ass.
His ass or his dick?
Whatever.
Whatever he touched.
I just do. I don't understand. I think that now everybody's so into this notion that me too, it happened to me too. Hey, motherfucker, God gave you muscles so you could say no and mean it.
What do you mean it happened to you too?
Like when he went, I could understand people being in certain situations because there's nothing you could do about it.
Right. I remember this one time I was in Israel and this gay guy walked up to me and started biting on my shirt. And yeah, I just turned around and walked away. I was kind of nervous. I was in a foreign environment. I was in a foreign country.
Right.
I didn't know who his homies were or how deep he was.
Right.
Maybe some people would have punched him or whatever else. Right. I was really bothered by it.
But imagine, like, I get it.
But I just walked away.
Okay. But imagine being a guy. Your agent works for you. He gets 10% of your money.
Well, that wasn't his actual agent.
I don't care what it was. Like
this was, agency. I believe, the president of a major company.
Listen, I've had agents.
Yeah.
A lot of them. Mm-hmm. You can't touch my dick if I pay you.
Right.
Because I can get another you.
Now, this is what's funny, too, in these situations. The people that say shit like this always reject new information and facts. Because ultimately what is existing in there is this want to, one, belittle Terry Crews, two, the homophobic urge to like want to strike a man for touching you, you know, which I understand. Touching somebody without consent is definitely something that makes people want to hurt people. I'm not saying this, you can't do that. That's not my point. My point being is, even with this other information of, no, it wasn't his agent, he wasn't paying him, it's a powerful agent that is working with all of his friends, by the way, in Hollywood, including Adam Sandler, Sylvester Stallone, people who've actually taken Terry Crews out of their projects and their movies because he dared to retaliate at this agent. Russell Simmons emailed Terry Crews. Now, so that's one problem. The second problem is this. This is just a pet peeve of mine. That's why we do this long form show. I really hate half the information ass niggas. Like, Vlad know he got all that. Like, Vlad could have read every article I read and just said that. It's not like I went and looked that up just now. We've talked about it on the show enough times. I actually read what the fuck happened, and I know it now. And I can go, well, DL, that's not what happened. DL, we're talking about Adam Sandler, one of his best friends. This is Adam Sandler's agent. We're talking about, like I said, Sylvester Stallone. We're talking about all these people. We're talking about him getting cut out of his career just for speaking up. Now, what would happen if he punched a dude? And they could just turn this entire conversation from, Terry Crews just went crazy and punched a dude. Well, he said the dude grabbed his dick. Yeah, blacklisted. But y'all niggas love martyrs. Y'all love Colin Kaepernick. People love that Colin Kaepernick don't got a job.
Right.
Some black people will tell you that they hate that he don't have a job, right? But that's not the truth. They love that he don't have a job. Because it's a fucking cause to get behind. Because now you can finally put a finger to, yeah, man, fuck the NFL. Yeah, you love that he don't have a job. The NFL was fucked up before Colin Kaepernick took a knee. And the NFL ain't got no fucking business trying to solve black people being killed by police. There's nothing they can do to stop it. Not one fucking thing. But the point is, it gives us a martyr. It gives us a cause to rally behind and to be like, yeah, put this black rage to work. If Terry Crews would have punched that dude and was blacklisted from Hollywood, we'd all be wearing free Terry Crews shirts and shit. But he went about it the professional way. Where he gets to keep a career, where he protects the loved one, where he doesn't bite into that violent stereotype, where he doesn't fight into just the, you know, hey man, you don't run up on me. Like, he didn't do that. He went the other way. And motherfuckers really out here like, yeah, he's less of a man now. And I don't think that white people are better than us. Cause keep in mind, mm-hmm. what I want people to listen to the full equation. Black men like D.L. Hughley, like Rush, like Russell Simmons, like 50 Cent, they're voicing this stuff because the bar for black men is so low that we get to say stuff like this. And people go, yeah, just a black man just trying to, you know, you still gonna watch Power. Ain't nobody boycotting that show. Y'all know exactly how 50 Cent feels about this. You been watching the show, you ain't gonna stop watching the show. The point isn't, it's that the bar is low for black men societally. But let's talk about the white male influence in this too, right? The agent, a white man, right? Didn't want to apologize or resign at first. Terry Crews had to keep pushing it. Adam Sandler, no longer fucking with Terry Crews. No voice of support for him. Sylvester Stallone, taking him out of Expendables. Those are white men. Decision makers, money movers. Now, they wouldn't come out and do an interview and be like, Terry Crews a sissy, blah, blah, blah. They wouldn't say nothing stupid like, that's what you got muscles for, punch him in the face. They wouldn't say that, but they want to employ him. So to me, white men are just as fucking fucked up, complicit, and homophobic, toxic masculinity, all that shit. They're just as fucked up. We don't get to claim to be better just because we black. It's fucked up for no matter what level you're on. Whether you're mocking the dude, or whether you're one of these motherfuckers that won't give him a job. You still fucked up. Like, and then to think, this is a man. How many thousands of women in this just one particular city, this one particular industry, have had similar happen to them, and we go, whatever happened to, what was her name? You know, how many more people are there like this? Because this is a popular man that we know who's very funny, and we know his face when we see him. There's so many young actresses and shit, we'll never hear about what happened to them, their story, or anything, and they'll never work again. Cause people conspire to go against these people so quickly. If Adam Sandler would do this to his fucking friend over a goddamn agent, then why wouldn't, you know, you think he would care about some girl? Some new actress? The whole game is rigged, man. It's fucked up. And D.L. Hewley participating in it is, you know, but we've covered it before. D.L. Hewley's, you know, pro-blackness goes as far as straight black men, and that's it. Everybody else is pussies and too sensitive, but he ain't got Roseanne's back. He don't support all humor that's funny. Like, he don't support all everything under the auspice of it's just a joke. It's just, this is the only thing he's willing to do that with.
Yeah, and right. And also, for me, it's one of the things, too, where people love a martyr when there's no personal sacrifice for themselves.
Right. Yeah, it's easier to put that shirt on than it is to respect somebody for going about it the right way.
Right,
you know,
right. You love when people lose.
Not even the right way. I'm sorry. Right. I just want the non-violent way. Because I'm not even saying if you would have punched him, that I'd be sitting up here like, he shouldn't have punched that man. Like, nobody should be fucking touching anybody's body without consent, period. Period. If somebody were to haul off and hit somebody, and that's how they handled it, I understand. But to also handle it this way, I don't understand why we have to then go, oh, bitch ass nigga. Like, why can't we just be like, nah, he handled it that way, and that's a professional way to handle it. Not everything gotta be solved with fist.
Right, because that's how a lot of men think. And it's one of those things where you listen to people like him talk, and you be like, well, wow, the women in your life ought to be fucking scared, because what happened if I don't have the big muscles to fight? Then it's just fuck me.
Pin that thought. Remember you said that, because that was a great point. And we're going to come back to that, Karen. Let's finish the video.
Now, it's a whole lot of things. And you can't touch my dick in front of my wife if I pay you. That's me. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just say, hey, motherfucker, I don't care what people think of me. You ain't doing this to me. That's where I come from. Now, I can't say I've never been in this spot. I ain't done no Old Spice commercial. I ain't been in this spot. But it's shit you ain't gonna never do to me.
Right, because I think 50 compared it to the Will Smith incident. Remember when the guy tried to kiss him? Will Smith just smacked him?
Yeah.
Right there on the red carpet?
You not...
That dude was nobody's agent. He was a photographer, prankster. And even in that situation, like I said, if Will Smith, if Terry Crews wants to handle it that way, that's still their prerogative, because you're not supposed to be touching anybody without consent. But that could have been way worse. You know, they could have been calling the cops on Will Smith if that person was somebody. That dude just happened to be nobody. It's not the same situation, really, but okay.
I ain't feeling ready to let that happen. Now, I think that people get, oh, you know what happened? I get it. You pay this dude or that agency to work for you. They can't make money unless they. It's funny because athletes, porn stars, and entertainers are the only people that pay people to get them work.
It's not really true, but okay.
That's not true. You have normal, regular ass people that would go and pay somebody. Here's my resume. Go
recruiters,
get me a job, right?
Yeah. Okay. Well, whatever. He was trying to make a different point.
So they all pimp like they. Like, I pay you to get me work.
Right.
I'm not going to pay you to get me work, and you touch the goods, too, motherfucker. Hang on. I'm not going to give you 10% of my proceeds from this shit, and you touch my dick? That can't happen.
So you've never had, I mean, being in Hollywood, doing movies, you've never had a gay man?
I'm not sexy enough for that.
You're not sexy enough? I'm not. You sure?
I never had that.
You know, with your tattoos and your muscles out right now and all that?
I like it, but no.
The other thing, too, is I meant to bring up a third thing when I was bringing up those first two things. The third thing is this, and this is all men, mostly, straight men anyway, most cishet men. We want to be perceived as strong enough and potentially violent enough that no one would fuck with us. And so a lot of this is for that. Like, a lot of what he's saying is about projecting that. Cause D.L. Hewley's a little dude. You know, nobody, like, I'm not saying D.L. Hewley can't scrap or whatever, but he's older. Like, he out of prime scrapping shape. If somebody ran up on him, they could probably fold him up, you know? Like, I don't know if he carried a Roscoe on him or whatever the fuck, but he ain't exactly like some dude you look at and you're like, God damn, I hope D.L. Hewley don't come in here tonight. Like, so you have to project this, you know, aura of hyper violence, hyper masculinity that's like, if you fuck with me, you better know you fucking with the wrong one. We all have it. I have it. This is how we're socialized as men, you know, and particularly with men because we're cishet men, we're told that it's okay to kind of be violent when you need to be. Women have it too sometimes. And you can see it flare up. Like, there's certain women that project the aura of, don't fuck with me, I'm the wrong one. But it's more acceptable with men. Like, with men, it's like, you could be playing a basketball game, next thing you know, a fight broke out. Cause men are always told to flash on people like this. And so when you talk about the idea of sexual assault, one of the reasons men are often shamed into silence, one of the reasons they don't share, even with the most closest intimate homies and stuff, is because you are seen as a failure of a man if this happens to you, because you obviously must not have projected enough of that hyper violence, that hyper masculinity. Even if you were a child, people will still go, you soft, something's wrong with you. And the illusion is so amazing because Terry Crews would swallow this nigga up. Like, he would fold this dude up easily, fold him up, put him away like a fucking chair. But listen to how he's talking on some, like, you know, hey, what ain't happened to me? He know better, you know, shit, come on. Like, it could never happen, you know, like, not just for the fact that, you know, Terry Crews didn't get violent towards the dude. Anyway, so to get back to the bigger point though. So, Terry Crews, he asked Hewley if he was implying that he like wanted it, you know. He said, you saw the video, Hughes asked him, you know, are you implying that he wanted to be sexually assaulted? And he said, you saw the video. And so then Crews replied, sir, you said I should have pushed him back or restrained him. I did all those things, but you act like I didn't. Were you there? Hewley said, that's different than slapping the shit out of him. So Crews said, if you truly feel that is the correct way to deal with toxic behavior, should I slap the shit out of you? And then suddenly D.L. Hewley just stopped talking about it. I don't know what made him stop talking about it. That was the last tweet in the exchange. I don't know if some people got in his ear. I don't know. Who knows what could have happened? I know Twitter fingers turn to, you know, shit gets real sometimes, and y'all both be in L.A. constantly, and you just never know when y'all gonna run into each other. So maybe he felt a way about it. I don't know, but that just seemed to end the kind of thing. And it's kind of a just a hazard of the internet, even between friends, even between people you know. It's easier to type than it is to see somebody in real life. It's easier than to pick up that phone, you know, performing for these motherfuckers online, hoping you get retweets and shit.
Them niggas don't care nothing about you. They will watch your house burn.
Yeah, and this is the part where I said I feel like a hypocrite, because you know, here I am saying like, handle shit professionally, you don't have to get violent, there's nothing wrong with that. And at the same time, if Terry Crews was to slap this nigga, I would be like, I understand. You know, I guess it's not that hypocritical, because I said if Terry Crews slapped that agent, I'd understand too. I just think there'd be some consequences behind it. But yeah, if Terry Crews folded up DL Hughley, I'd understand. Like, all this shit is abstract till you gotta see the person. Then it's real. Them same muscles you was mocking gonna be in your face. Then what? You just gotta hope he level headed and not gonna try to do you that way. Terry Crews used to hit grown men for a living.
Right. He used to play professional football.
Yeah. What are they talking about? Like, if he's soft, you all soft. What are you talking about? And so then the last thing is this. We talked about this on the show. DL Hughley said his daughter was sexually assaulted by a friend of his family, and he didn't do anything. We talked about it on the show before. So even with all that, I'll look up the article again, but even with all that stuff, when you had the opportunity for that, you weren't doing all that. So why, so where is energy coming from? Cause that's not how you handled the shit either. You know, like, he made it sound like it's a shame I couldn't do nothing since it was my friend. You know? Oh, great. All these articles are now the new articles instead of the old joint. But yeah, I remember we talked about it on the show, and it was like, yeah, man, you said this happened to your own daughter. Like, why aren't you, you know, why don't you feel some kind of way about this shit? Yeah, he's DL Hughley witness. Okay. This is a different one. He witnessed sexual assault as an adolescent. Okay. Oh, also, didn't he say someone, the man that was dating his mistress killed his baby or something? Like, DL Hughley been through some shit, and he ain't out here getting in the vigilante costume taking out justice on everybody. Like, I don't know, man. I just don't get what this dude is doing, man.
Yeah, people don't mind martyrs. They don't want to be the martyr. Like, right. It's real easy to tell somebody else to go out there and risk your life and risk your freedom and risk your safety from afar. A lot of people do that. A lot of people who will never be in certain situations are real quick to tell somebody else to put hands on somebody or go kill somebody or smack somebody up when they don't have to live the consequences or the repercussions of what happens afterwards. I smack you and then what? Right. I shoot you and then what? Then what? The police are called, right?
Right.
Somebody pressing charges, right? Because it does not end after the incident.
Right. And even if he goes and slaps, if Terry Crews goes slapping DL Hughley, DL Hughley might call the cops.
Right, and press charges.
So, yeah, man, I it just sounded real, real fucked up, you know. And yeah, I can't find the article right now. I really hate to bring up something and not have the receipts on the show right then and there. But, yeah, he has talked about his own friend assaulting his daughter and said yeah, so I didn't do shit. Like, oh, it's just a shame you can't do nothing about it. Like, so then why are you coming for Terry Crews? Like, what's going on with you? You know, shouldn't you feel some kind of way about this? No? Okay, cool. Yeah,
and sometimes a lot of people project, they get mad and angry wishing they would have done something, so they kind of want to push that out and hope that they can get their justice vicariously through you.
Right. So,
you know, and was this the connection to the muscles thing I was talking about earlier?
Muscles? What do you mean?
I was talking, remember how he was talking about dudes, people with muscles, and I was like, so if you're a woman and you don't got big muscles, you're just supposed to take it?
Oh, yeah, well, his So in a weird way, he was trying to defend women with that remark. And a lot of men do this. It's like, well, they're not strong enough to stop a sexual assault. So I get why a woman could be sexually assaulted and need to go to the police. It's that, but it's the truth. That's why those men feel that way, is because, and that's why men who are sexually assaulted often don't talk about it, because you're then seen as a weaker, like less of a man. You see what I'm saying? Because if it was a woman, they'll go, oh, no, it's fine. You didn't do anything wrong. This man overpowered you. Clearly, this was wrong on his part. What could you have done about it? You're just a woman. Whereas when it's another man, they're like, oh, you weren't man enough to stop a sexual assault. So now if I'm a man and I've been sexually assaulted, I don't want to tell you, right? I'm not telling my friends. I'm not telling my homeboys. I'm not telling my, because in a lot of cases, I'm not telling the woman I love. I'm not telling my mom. I'm not telling anybody, because it means I was not man enough. It's a defining characteristic of how people say this is what a man is.
Right. And to me, that's very fucked up, because no matter how strong a man is, there's always a man stronger than you. Like, there just is, and it's one of those things where, strength can be shown in a lot of ways, and sometimes restraint is strength. A lot of men don't look at it like that. They think I got to be violent to show my strength. Sometimes strength is been like, this is what I feel like doing, but I'm not going to do that. That's also strength too. But men don't reward each other for walking away. They don't reward each other for not beating nobody up and whooping ass. They don't reward that. They don't reward for restraining anger. They don't, you don't get quote unquote rewarded. Your manhood don't get fucking stroked for being a decent goddamn human being.
Yep. So anyway, DL Hewley is just a dude that it's just crazy. That's how strong that shit is, that he, even the logic of, well, wouldn't you not want to say this to Terry Crews just on GP? Like, forget being a good person, but just on the fact that, yeah, he could probably whoop your ass. But you get so, like, that shit'll put a battery in your back, dog. You really be on here like, I'm about to laugh at this man, and y'all about to, let it. And then people on the internet were going after Terry Crews. Anyone that mentioned it, there was I had to block so many people just because I was like, yo, Terry Crews might fold this nigga up. You need to be careful. And it was like, oh, so he gonna hit the black man, but not the white man. And they were mostly Tariq Nasheed fans, but still, that's a lot of trolling going on out there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what else happened. I don't want to talk about TSA workers were busted for running $100 million cocaine smuggling ring.
You know what? I might be wrong, but y'all shut the fucking government down. They got to make money somehow. I ain't even mad at them.
They might have been doing this for longer than that, though.
Oh, I know.
Federal employees are facing 10 years of life in prison.
That much money? Y'all been running this game.
After being indicted for using their post to smuggle over $100 million in cocaine from the U.S. to the U.S. from Puerto Rico, 12 members of the drug ring, including TSA baggage screeners and security personnel, facing charges of conspiracy to possess with intent to distribute.
Mm-hmm. Had to be a lot of them. Had to be a whole full operation, because, like, somebody had, y'all had several departments in there. Like, this shit couldn't have floated easily.
Said 12 were arrested.
Yeah, but I guarantee you.
That's a lot.
Yeah, they was all from different departments.
Mm-hmm.
You
gotta have somebody at each level of the process.
Come on.
Authorities say as much as, well, actually, you know what? You might not. If you think about it, you might really only need the baggage people. It's like the janitor. Mm-hmm. It's the people nobody pay attention to that really got the most power. Like, if you want to infiltrate a building, you just dress like a janitor. Walk right the fuck in.
Come on!
Ain't
nobody paying attention to you getting trash.
Yeah, maybe. There's a chance that, with the authority they do have of, I can search the right bag. I can then say, I'm going to take this bag to this checkpoint. I can say,
because they know all the rules.
I can get the bag on the plane. So you would probably need, like, somebody in baggage that puts it on the plane. Somebody in TSA. Per airport. I mean, you could do it. I wonder if that's why they shut down Charlotte TSA screenings. Remember yesterday they said they shut it down for 10 minutes? I wonder if the feds came in there and arrested somebody.
I bet you they did.
Authorities.
We are hub.
Authorities say as much as 20 tons of cocaine over an 18-year period was smuggled in. They claim a baggage handler in the ring picked up cocaine-filled suitcases At check-in counters, put them into the TSA x-ray machines that another suspect cleared. After the baggage handler took them to their respective flights, making sure no police or canine units intervened. According to reports, up to 5 smugglers were used in each flight, each carrying as much as 33 pounds of the illegal substance at a time.
Good God!
This comes on the heels of a Homeland Security report that found many of the major U.S. airports do not have full employee screenings.
Yeah, 18 years, good God.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, this is when they caught 18 years. Some of them niggas got money and retired. I'm out.
Yep. So yeah, that was a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They probably was the only TSA people coming in during the furlough.
Oh, they were happy to come in.
Mm-hmm.
We ain't paying you. I'm coming to work.
Right.
What do you mean everybody else called that sick? I will be at work.
They was calling the airport.
I know. They was like, we don't need you today.
Charlotte Douglas, can I help you?
Yes. Can I come to work today?
Who is this? Is this TSA people?
Yes, this is Tyrone. I work for the TSA. I want to know, can I come to work today?
You know you're not getting paid, right?
I don't care. I will work for free.
Tell
Trump, I bring my black ass in. I don't care about his racism. I'm coming to work today. That's how that phone call went.
No wonder when they said TSA came in, they still was in there playing music and shit from they like they was
playing because they was the only ones there. No wonder why they was playing music. They was cussing folks out.
Right.
Fuck the police.
They was playing music and dancing and shit. Not checking no.
Come on. Let's groove tonight. I got a gun. I don't care.
Right.
They were like, somebody got stabbed. I'm not getting paid, bitch.
Right. But yeah, that's what I think might have happened. They were sitting around.
Come on, they was like, they showed up every day. They didn't miss a day of work. Not a single day.
They was at the fucking terminal like. Hold on, stop that bag right there, player. I'm gonna need to take this one for an extra screening in the closet. You can go ahead and go through though. You go ahead. Beep, beep. Go ahead and go through. We don't need to check you. Go ahead. You fine.
Bitty be like, lady with the afro, go on through the day. I'm not even going to stop.
Yeah, I think.
I know. They were fucking up all the stereotypes. People was coming through. People that didn't know they always get on the list.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you know they probably know someone by name because they probably get stopped each time.
Yep.
So they was like, you know what? The dude that normally checks your hijab, he's not here today. Go yeah. through, baby.
The
Go
only
through.
Flights we checking is the one to get this cocaine up to America. Other than that, y'all can carry as many bombs on these planes as y'all want.
As many knives as y'all want. Fuck
looks
them
good
up.
To me. Oh, 2 gallons of liquid. Fine with me. Mm-mm. I don't care. Get you a big gulp.
I don't care. What is this, a whole ass wine bottle?
Mm-hmm.
Take it on. It's in the brown paper bag. Go on through.
Yep. Go ahead. You bothering me.
Come on, you're bothering me today.
Y'all take them, I'll get on my damn nerves. All these people worry about being safe on a damn plane.
I know, probably falling asleep at the post and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, you fucked up my nap. What do you want?
Ma'am, you are messing up the party, okay?
You are messing up the
I'm
party.
I'm trying to enjoy my Jeezy, and here you come with this bullshit, trying to make me do my job.
I know. Well, I will not turn the music down. We furloughed, but you here. I'm still furloughed.
All right.
They were like, there was one TSA person on the whole A-wing.
Right.
Nobody else showed up.
Just telling people to go through like a Walmart greeter.
Come on.
Deep. You good.
They were like, do I need my receipt? You don't need your receipt. Go on through. Go on through.
Deep, 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 deep. You good. Deep, 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 deep. You good. Mm-hmm. All right.
Somebody was like, that's not a, what is them, one of them friendly animals, one of them emotional support animals. I don't care.
Yeah, a more emotional support shark. That's fine. Come on through.
Emotional support. Whatever alligator.
You need, sir. Whatever you need.
A gorilla got on today. Don't care.
Emotional support AR-15. That's fine. That's fine. That's just come fine. On through. Beep. Mm-mm. Come on through.
Take all the bullets too. Up, you drop one. There you go. Go on.
Hold up. Hold up. There go my package though. Hold up. All right, let's get into another segment. Got to talk about this today.
Question, you have the answer, so tell me what I wanna know. Do you wanna funk? Do you wanna funk? Won't you tell me now? Won't you tell me now? If you wanna funk, let me show you how. Do you wanna funk with me? Do you wanna funk with me?
All right, let's get into this terrible news, guys. LGBTQ news segment on the Blackout Tips. We gotta talk about brothers, sisters, and non-binary gender peoples, and the news that affects them. And it's, as you can imagine, not good. It's mostly terrible news. Because America is a shithole. Prominent U.S. gay conversion therapy David Matheson divorces his wife and comes out as gay. Yeah, I don't even have no jokes for this shit. Mm-hmm. I think it's just, like, obviously he was dealing with his own anti-gayness and shit that he's learned, whether it's through religion or whatever.
Right.
And through that trip that he took in his own life, he ended up putting a whole lot of people through what I consider to be torture. I think conversion therapy is essentially torture. You know, imagine if you as a cishet person that if you're not, I'm sure already LGBTQ people already get it, but if you're straight, imagine just some motherfucker telling you being straight is wrong and I'm gonna just keep doing shit to you until you start acting like you're gay. Like, what the fuck is that?
Right.
And you do it to kids even. How's that okay? Like, you're teaching people to hate themselves. And I do believe sexual orientation, you know, we should have the freedom to be whatever the fuck we are. Like, I don't think it's necessarily a choice, but if it is a choice for, because I'm sure it's a choice for some people, if it is a choice, what's wrong with that choice? Why are we trying to beat it into people that they can't make that choice? There's nothing inherently wrong with that. So anyway, he's from Utah. He was the creator of a widely maligned and discredited courses that claim to be capable of changing the sexuality of those who study them. Now he is, and you would think the fact that this is not a phenomenon that exists alone, he's not the first and he won't be the last of these gay conversion therapy advocates and that come out later and go, actually I am gay, I was wrong the whole time. Why does this not one end this practice, right? Because I think you should go to jail for this shit. But why does it not end this practice? And why does it then not prove all these bigots you're wrong? Guess what you just found out? You're wrong. It happened again. Another person who was telling you, I was saved from being gay, is like, actually, I was not. You can't be saved from being gay. I just am. Why doesn't it stop there? Why haven't we already said, and this shit, this practice is outlawed, you can't do it? I know Obama's administration took away federal funding from organizations that did this, but I mean locally, morally, these places should just simply not exist. Like, I don't, anyway.
And then, for me, what's so fucked up about it is that marginalized groups always have to forgive, because you know what? You're going to turn around going, I'm one of you now. And you're right. Going to want them to embrace you and accept you. Well, they ain't go, no. Fuck you.
Yeah. Can he, like, what are the rules on that?
Right.
Because can he just walk up in the fucking gay club and be like, hey, y'all, it's your boy. Y'all remember me? From torturing you? Remember that was me. What?
Right. Marginalized people are always forced to forgive.
Like, you just get to go live your life. Okay. Like, you don't get jumped in or nothing. It's not even like a gang initiation. Like, something should happen to you. Like, there's no jail for this, you know, cause they, it's not even illegal in places. But some, anyway, alright.
I'm like you, that should be banned.
I'm a vengeful person, exist? I guess. Yeah. Yeah, they should be banned. I'm sorry. I mean, cut you off. Go ahead.
No. But I do is like, okay. I mean, I understand. It's like, okay, now you're part of this marginalized group, a group that you actively went against. And you go, like I said, you're going to expect them to embrace you.
Right. Yeah, somebody say he's gonna be on the talk show circuit. Yeah, I can see that.
Of course.
Being on Today's Show and shit, acting like it's all good. He put on face, cause people gonna say this is brave and all this shit. I don't know. It's a lot. There's a lot of moving parts on this. Said he had realized he had to make substantial changes in his life on Facebook. I enjoyed a happy and fulfilling marriage with my wife for many years. Overall, it was a beautiful relationship, and being straight became a core part of my identity. But I also experienced attractions to men. Much of the time, these were in the background, but sometimes they were very intense and led to pain and struggle in my marriage. Mr. Matheson says desire to be in an intimate relationship with a man had become a non-negotiable need toward the end of his marriage, but admitted he still found too much homophobia in myself. The revelation from Truth Wins Out came via a private post made by another so-called conversion therapist. According to the group, Rich Weiler said that Mr. Matheson, who was married to his wife for 34 years, was no longer part of the ex-gay movement. Truth Wins Out founder Wayne Besson told NBC News, when they wanted an expert, they would go to him. When your expert is now coming out of closet dating men, I think that speaks volumes about how the therapy is damaging and ineffective. Yeah, it's definitely a win. It's just how many people were affected by this man. That's all. The fact that even him being the quote unquote expert that goes on TV and tells people deny the fact that your son is gay, your daughter is gay. This is just something that they can be taught not to be with the Bible. Like, how many parents have been emboldened to be abusive to their kids? How many have cut off their family? How many? Because as long as you think shame can shame, like, can work, guess what you're gonna do to your own children that you claim to love? You're gonna shame them. So it's anyway, it's ridiculous is my point. It's ridiculous. And I understand the nuance of it. He is brave. He did admit he was wrong, and I understand there's some good there, because yeah, another notch in the belt of the people going, I told you this was bullshit. But it's also like, how many lives did he get to hurt before proving this point? Mike Pence calls criticism of his wife's job at an anti-LGBTQ school deeply offensive. The new offensive is calling people out on their shit. That's the new, hey man, that was racist. What? You would call me what, sir? Like, that's the new shit. Right? I do the racist thing. I do the homophobic thing. I do the misogynistic thing. You say, hey man, that's fucked up. And then I go, well, I never. I am sorry that you would even impugn my credibility this way. And I will see you in court. Like, fuck out of here, man. Mike Pence calls criticism of his wife's, yeah. Karen Pence is teaching art part-time at a Virginia school that explicitly bars lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender employees and students. Of course she would. Looks aren't podcasts. That's just,
oh, that's just frustrating.
We're not talking over dinner here, Karen. Vice President Mike Pence on Thursday addressed news coverage and criticism regarding his wife's decision to return to teaching at a Virginia elementary school that explicitly bars LGBTQ employees and students. My wife and I have been in the public eye for quite a while. We're used to the criticism. Then why is it offensive?
Right.
He said to EWTN, a cable news network that offers news from a Catholic perspective. But he added, to see major news organizations attacking Christian education is deeply offensive to us.
Y'all excluding people. What are we talking?
What happened to the love and all that shit?
Right.
In the Bible.
And that's what kills me with a lot of this stuff. It's like there's no love. There's no hope. You know, there's no caring about other people outside of yourself. A lot of judging. But yet I'm supposed to look and respect you?
Right. Right. We have a rich tradition in America of Christian education, and frankly, religious education broadly defined. We'll let the other critics roll off our back, but this criticism of Christian education in America should stop. Here's my thing. Did Christ say educate everybody but the gay people? Or like, what part of the Bible was it that said, but don't be letting these gay people go to your schools and shit? I'm sure these kids would be harmed to be in the presence of these folks. It's not like I'm begging for, please include these kids so they can be around your ass, but just the principle of it. Why are you even calling it Christian? What does it have to do with Christianity even? It's just bigotry. Just Christianity gives you the excuse, but this ain't some theological debate that you're having. It's using this shit to be a bully. Fuck both of them now. And that's why the impeach Trump shit, like, I hope they indict everybody involved, because if not, Mike Pence just gonna be the president, and Mike Pence is worse than Trump.
Yes, he is. And the thing is, because of his personality and shit like that, more shit will get passed with no problems, because he's not his own worst enemy. So he's not going to be here talking about it, acting the ass, acting right. The fool. He's not going to be doing press conferences. He doesn't have this big ass ego about shit. Shit will just go on. He'll take us back to slavery if he could.
He'll be seen as the president you can talk to, and we can compromise with him, and you'll have people like Schumer bowling over for him. Cause a lot of the quote unquote resistance, especially from white people, from Trump, is mostly just people's disdain for personally him.
Right.
Like, they don't necessarily have that much disdain for his policies, but it's the way he is communicating his policies, and the way and how roughshod he goes, and how willing he's to let the American people, average American, get hurt to prove a point for his ego. That's the part that turns white people off, because you know, the rest of us that always have our lives in the line with all these decisions, we're like, resistance, glad you made it, nigga. We've been on some no, we don't fuck with this, you know. Let's get every tool we have in the toolbox. Let's get these motherfuckers away from us and out of power. You know, for most of us, obviously there's some black people that are kind of, they so woke, they would be okay with Trump if they could prove some type of philosophical point. But for the rest of us.
Right. And what's so funny, sometimes I wonder if the woke so woke that they would actually allow us to go back to the slavery, because they so woke that slavery is actually the answer.
Yeah, I don't know. There's some radical shit that is so radical. I'm like, okay, but. I don't even know where that came from. What would the greater good that would be served? What is that supposed to be?
Right.
You know, but, okay. That was an article playing background. Anyway, let's go to the next one. This one has been the news all day. And I have some questions about this one that, it made me ask some questions of myself and some questions I wonder about in a weird way, Kamala Harris. In a weird way, it made me go back to Kamala Harris and question myself. Jussie Smollett, I'll tell you how I got there in a second. Jussie Smollett, who you might know from Empire, you may know him from Underground, Journey Smollett's brother. He was hospitalized in Chicago after a homophobic attack.
Oh, that's not good.
Now he's out of the hospital. He is okay. And I don't think he's released a statement about it yet, but we're talking in real time. Maybe he has while we've been on the podcast.
Okay.
I'm not on social media, obviously, during the show. I don't know. But he was violently attacked in an apparent homophobic and racist hate crime that left him hospitalized in Chicago. This intersection we talk about. This is when I talk about patriarchy within the black male community, when I talk about some of the things that we're protected from, some of the things that is different for cishet black men, and they go, well, I can't oppress nobody, I'm too oppressed, or I have bad things happen to me. So you telling me I can oppress a woman when we get the highest prison rate and stuff like that? And it's like, I feel what you're saying. This is not to say black men don't deal with oppression.
Right.
This is to say we do deal with oppression, and therefore the stuff that we do to other people within our community, we should be more sensitive to that. Not just the stuff we do, the stuff that happens to other people within our community, we should be more sensitive to that. And if you really are one of these black men that truly does believe in this, like, I have to be the protector, I have to be the, then why would our protection not extend to the LGBTQ people in our families, in our communities? Why would it not extend to the women in our communities? Why would it not extend to the children in our communities? We're the ones saying we should be the front line.
Come on.
But often we don't get on the front line. Often we're like, no, you go do the march and I'm gonna chill in the back until it's time for somebody to go up and speak, then I'm gonna take over the microphone. But other than that, y'all do all the shit, right? So it has to be some give and take. And this is one of those situations where it's not a direct connection, but people were pointing out, you know, when you see a Kevin Hart, when you see DL Hughley, when you see some of these black men openly mocking, openly belittling the violence that happens to black gay people, especially within our community, it's hard for anyone to believe you give a fuck about Jesse Smollett. Like, why? Because he's famous?
Right.
Cause how can you give a fuck about that shit, but then you also is like, but I would beat my gay son with a toy house. Ha ha, that's funny. Don't be gay. Ha ha, see? I'm just joking. It's just jokes. So yeah, I get how people would be like, this is incongruent. This doesn't make sense. You're not being consistent. The 35-year-old who came out as gay to Ellen in 2015, was attacked at 2 a.m. on Tuesday in Chicago by two men in ski masks. Reports of the incident state that Smollett was walking from the subway when two men started yelling homophobic and racial slurs to get his attention. The two then started beating on the actor while pouring bleach on him, which means they must have had this plan. A noose was said to have been tied around his neck during the attack. A noose.
Oh, they had planned on killing him.
Right. So, did this happen to him because he's black? Did this happen to him because he's gay? Or did this happen to him because of both? And ultimately, that's that intersection, right? That's that intersection. You gotta worry about your own people being hateful for you. You gotta worry about white people being hateful for you, and you don't even necessarily know for which reason sometimes. So yeah, both of the sources close to the singer told TMZ both of the men were white and yelled, "This is MAGA country." Now the police are saying the men were covered head to toe. How could you possibly know what race they were and all this shit? I don't know. I wasn't there, but who, unless this is like a big ass conspiracy by some niggas trying to pretend to be white to attack right. Justice Smollett, I don't understand how it. It's like when someone gets shot by the cops and we have to do the whole like, well, it could have been the cop was in fear for his life. And he's saying, it's like, yeah, I don't know if I believe that the 100th time. We know that hate crimes have been on a surge since Donald Trump took office.
Yes, they have.
And to me, the MAGA hat is a Confederate flag.
I feel the same.
It's why we didn't spend a week. We didn't waste 5-10 minutes of our episode talking about them boys with them hats yelling at the 5%ers and shit. Don't nobody care about that. Them boys was wearing racism hats. Fuck, I care about anything. I knew they were racist when I saw the hat. I'm gonna parse out what the fuck happened and I need to see the whole tape. I don't give a fuck. You can give a 3-hour fucking documentary on them boys. I'm gonna tell you right now, I'm not watching it. They racist. There's nothing you can do to surprise me about them motherfuckers. Anyway, yeah, so they put a noose around his neck. Smollett was admitted to Northwestern Memorial Hospital, but has since been released. The attacks are believed to be premeditated, as Smollett received a cut-out letter, date stamped from January 18th, stating, "You will die black," and F-word. The Chicago Police Department are investigating the case as a racially charged battery and assault. Smollett lives in Chicago while the popular Fox show films Empire. Here's my thing, right? I hope the police find these people and I hope they're thrown under the fucking jail. I don't know where that puts me on the spectrum of the fuck the police, fuck prisons, thing. I don't know where that puts me on that scale with the wokest of the wokes and shit. And I have no idea how they think these things should be handled. The same way I was totally fine with De La Roof got the death penalty. You won't catch me anywhere talking about how we need to abolish death penalties and prison when it's De La Roof. You know, I understand it's a system that's racist, built on the back of racism. But there's also these cases where I don't know what you do with these people. There should be a place to put a person that does something like this. And I'm saying, even if it's not these Make America Great Again white people, whoever does this to some black man, some gay man, need to be the fuck up out of here. The end. There's no fucking level of restoration I'm looking for. There's no rehabilitation I'm looking for this shit. Go. You know, it's just hard to kind of understand some of the philosophy sometimes, because it's like, niggas is on some like, we need to solve this stuff without no systemic help and shit, but Black Panthers had guns too. Like, what is it? Like, which one is it? What song are we playing? Uchi Wally? Is it One Mic? I just want to know the rules to the game, because when I see something like this, I hope we have a Kamala Harris there to prosecute this motherfucker to the fullest extent of the law. Period. Get them the fuck out of here. Not everything is some kumbaya, we can talk to them and maybe they'll come around and we can just work it out. No, the fuck we can't. When you shoot up our churches, no, I don't want to talk about it. Y'all motherfucking get mad when they ask black people to forgive, but what is a system that does not punish, that does not find a way to make this shit some form of justice, if not asking me to fucking forgive this nigga? What are we doing? So yeah, I want to see, well, whoever did this, because we don't have all the details. It's very early. It could be some false flag ass bullshit. Who knows what the fuck really happened? But the fact that anyone would do this to another human being is unconscionable, and I can't let that ride. I don't have that in me. Whatever it is that's supposed to be like, you know, prisons is bullshit, the justice system is bullshit, then put these niggas in the bullshit. They need to go. The fuck is this shit?
Yeah, there has to be a balance. Like, I understand people's pie in the sky philosophy. I'm not saying I don't understand. And if we had a quote unquote perfect system, fine. But we have the system that we have, and we have to operate within the system that we have.
It's fucking premeditated. They said they're investigating it as a hate crime and racial crime and shit. But I saw when they first released the statement, like, they was like, well, we don't know what race did. We don't know what happened. Like, I think we know what happened.
Yeah, what niggas you know walking around with nooses?
Right. Now, at the same time, you know what? Let me back off of that. That's not true. I take it back. I'm sorry. I take it back. It is the police department's job to examine all the evidence.
Yes, it is.
And to be open. I'm not open because I'm a citizen and I'm black and I've seen enough of this. But you know what? I take it back, because I would have said the same thing if we would have talked about it at first when Sean King put out that fucking photo of that white man that said this dude shot this little black girl. And something about it at the time told me, don't talk about this on the show, because you don't know. It's way too early. Let's find out. And a few days later, we find out it's two black men with mistaken identity that shot this black girl. And it doesn't fit the convenient narratives that we have and all the rage that happened in the moment. So let me step back rationally and say, I don't know what happened, and maybe the police do need to consider the idea. It could be anybody. If they were covered head to toe, if they singled him out, it could be some type of way to mislead him. I don't know what happened. It does seem very blatant. So maybe it is purposely misleading.
Yeah, me too. I'm yeah, actually,
I don't know,
speaking from a person that's uninformed. You know, I hope that it's not no brown people out here doing this as a fucking joke.
Yeah. So we'll see what happened, you know. But yeah, it's just you gotta walk around with your fucking like life on the line because you're out and black and a celebrity. Like, that is bravery, that is masculinity, quote unquote, that we talk about. That's still being a quote unquote man, because most of us ain't walking around like I could get smoke at 2 a.m. just for being who the fuck I am, and loving the person I love, you know. So all right, we got to go to the next session. Mm-hmm. All right, next, let's get to let's play some games. This has been kind of a downer.
Yeah, let's do that.
But that's LGBTQ news sometimes, man. It ain't mm-hmm. all good.
White people news.
You want to do white people news, not guess the race?
Yes, white people news.
Okay, remember you made that choice.
I did, y'all. I'm sorry.
All right,
I'm apologizing already. I need to relax.
Now we gotta talk about Trump too.
Everybody, boo, I didn't know that. Boo. I forgot.
Well, you still want to do it?
You get 100.
All right, well, I guess we're doing it anyway, guys. White people news, according to Karen. Let me pull up the old what do you call it, the old screen share, so you guys can see the video for white people news. Remember, Karen wanted this song. That was fine.
I didn't know what the music was.
Yep.
I don't pick the music.
I don't hear music. Oh, I know why. Hold on. Let me fix this real quick. Sorry about this, guys. Me and my buddy fucked it back in the day. Hold on.
He asked me for Bruce Hornsby one day, and I was like, yeah. So, pretty my version. Song me and my buddy popped it back in the day.
Your buddy Pac. Okay.
Oh Lord, people in there eating they Taco Tuesdays and they gotta hear this music.
Mm-hmm. Oh, why did this freeze? I must have known not to make this decision.
They're enjoying their refried beans and rice, tacos with avocado.
All right, I don't know why it froze, guys.
Enjoying them barbacoa tacos.
YouTube is not trying to let y'all get this white people news. Maybe I pause it for a second.
That must be a sign we need to play the game, other game. I'm sorry, y'all.
YouTube
was like, nope.
The hell? Should I refresh? What the fuck? Okay, now it's loading. I don't know if this. Hey, I'll hit play again. We'll try it again. Life worth living, should I blast myself? I'm worth some black. First snatch. Kill you the heat, bro. Welfare. Now Huey's dead. Just the way it is. That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh yeah. Come on.
Offbeat on the bongos.
This is pretty bad. Back tonight. Heal each other. The president. Oh, he's changed it up. Gave Barack a shout out. Easy way. But that's the way it is. That's just the way it is. Sing it with me, JL. This is favorite version.
Ain't this already a white song?
The anti-Black Panther version. First Man. Is he gonna do the monologue?
I don't know.
I guess not. Oh, he is. Wow. Wow.
I'm so sorry, y'all. I did not know.
So please can bother me. With a mobile phone. Oh my God. That's what you want. All right.
I thought I was gonna relax.
That's what you wanted. I guess you got lulled to sleep. And we gotta talk Trump news.
Boo!
Trump unfollows Ann Coulter on Twitter after months of border wall criticism. Yeah, and he didn't get that wall, and she tweeted about it too. Said he folded.
Of course she did.
Yep. He know how to. She knows how to get to him. And he's still reading her tweets. I guarantee that. I have her blocked, by the way. MAGA raises over $14 million and counting to build Trump's wall, but they might be getting refunds instead because you can't raise money to give gifts to the United States, dumbasses. God, racist people, man. $14 million to some shit you know can't work.
Right.
Trump becomes first president since 2002 not to visit the troops during Christmas time. Oh, another milestone.
Breaking them all, ain't it?
Trump accidentally exposes the location identities of U.S. Navy SEAL Team 5 on Twitter. Why wouldn't he? Trump brags the troops about a fictional giant pay raise that he got them, but he didn't do it, so he lied. Terminal at Houston Airport was closed and amid the government shutdown.
That's one of the things that prompted him to quote-unquote fold, because they was like, you know what? Yeah, and I didn't realize that if I'm not mistaken, they said that airport is like one of the largest in the country and one of the largest in the world. Like if you go around the world, they was like, what we ain't gonna do is fly these planes.
I think you may have two different airports confused.
Oh,
are you sure you're not talking about LaGuardia where the air traffic controllers called out and didn't come into work? Yeah, that's what caused them to fold.
Okay, LaGuardia,
that's the New York airport, and they just, all the air traffic controllers, or a lot of them, said I'm not coming to work.
I don't blame them, and I guarantee fucking to you the next strategy will be to bust unions up, because this was a unionized type of thing, and that's why they're against unions, because unions are like, y'all can't fucking do this.
Well, what's interesting is I don't even know, was it a union? Have you read that?
I know they may have
a union.
Right.
My thing is, it didn't even sound like a necessarily the kind of thing that can only happen with a union, because if you're not paying people, guess what you just did? Unionize them niggas.
Yes, you did.
It's not like you paying some people and not others. If you're not paying nobody, guess what you just did? That's how unions start. You treat everybody the same, and they be like, actually I don't care that you make $2,000 more than me. We both not getting no money.
Ain't no, you getting zero, I'm getting zero too. All right.
Trump golf club fires illegal immigrant workers despite knowing their legal status for years. Of course they do. Why would you ever think they didn't? A judge blocks Trump's birth control coverage rules in 13 states. We'll see what happens when that probably goes to the Supreme Court. How they feel about it.
All right. Another 5-4?
Yeah. So, we'll see. I mean, they're fighting a good fight, but it's basically going through the motions until you get back to the Supreme Court, which is evil. Twitter erupts after Melania Trump vows to continue fighting for children everywhere. Okay, bitch. Okay.
The same children she don't care about.
What?
She would on a coat.
What?
I don't care, do you?
I ain't going to fight. Me and Donald will fight for the children everywhere. What about the children down at the border and pens and shit? Not the real children, not the fake news media children,
not the made up children.
Right. not the brown ones.
Come on.
Only white people can be children.
Yes. The rest of them, they're the savages from shithole countries.
Oh, God. All right, white people news. Jesus Christ. It's got to be something good in here. Oh, man. This happened to one of my people, and I'm sorry to hear this, but a woman was banned from the airport lounge for wearing UGG boots.
Why?
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
What they got against UGGs?
White women and white women like me, some of the most discriminated people discriminated against in America, okay? I'm just gonna come out and say it. We are tired of your mess, America. We did not put on our pink pussy hats and our UGG boots to be rejected at the airport lounge.
Come
I know
on.
That much. Don't
we
you
don't wear, well I know you don't, but I know I don't wear the yoga pants and UGGs just for y'all to treat me like this.
Mm-hmm. You getting some UGGs? You got some UGGs?
Not yet. I'm gonna get some though.
Yeah, the Qantas business lounge of Melbourne, Australia didn't want one of the band's female vocalists, the Human League, I guess is the name of the band, Joanne Catherall, when she tried to gain access wearing UGG boots. The 55-year-old singer was refused admission on the grounds she was wearing the popular sheepskin boots, which are on the airline lounge's list of banned footwear.
The shoe? What are we talking about here?
A brouhaha started last Thursday when Catherall, whose handle on Twitter is at Lubicat, tweeted, denied access at Qantas business class in Melbourne Air. Apparently, UGG Australia boots are deemed sleepwear by the ladies working there. Hi, Joanne. We endeavor to remain consistent and uphold our lounge dress guidelines to all our guests, they responded. The lounge also reportedly has a strict anti-flip-flop policy.
They're not flip-flops. What are we talking about here? They actually cover your whole foot up.
Right. I don't sleepwear? Who sleeps in UGG?
I mean, what do you
the
I
fuck
mean,
is y'all nasty ass bed like?
Are you attacking somebody with these shoes? I don't understand why they banned.
Why Anne Hathaway won't drink again for 18 years. We've all been there, Anne.
It won't last long.
You drink a little too much, you wake up the next morning, your head is throbbing, and you say, I'm not drinking again for 18 years. Fuck this shit. No, apparently she's not gonna drink again for 18 years because she had a baby recently.
Aww.
And she said, my son really does need me all the time. So I guess in her mind, drinking is will keep her away from her son.
I didn't know she had a baby.
Yep, she's filming Serenity on the island of Mauritius. It was undoubtedly a lot of work for Anne Hathaway, but she was able to find some fun between takes. One example, a tour she took alongside co-star Matthew McConaughey and his wife Camila Alves, where they tasted some of the best rums and beautiful African nation had to offer. However, her meeting the next morning with director Steven Knight had a healthy side of hangover. And as of October 2018, she has quit drinking altogether. Hathaway told Ellen DeGeneres during her appearance on the show. And people be telling Ellen DeGeneres everything.
She got that magic touch.
Mm-hmm. For 18 years, said the actress, 36 years old, I'm going to stop drinking while my son, Jonathan Rosebanks, 2.5, is living in my house. She admitted that she doesn't totally love the way she drinks, explaining that Jonathan is getting to an age where he really does need me all the time. In the mornings, I did one school run one day where I dropped him off at school. I wasn't driving, but I was hungover. That was enough for me. I didn't love that experience. Another reason I don't want kids, joked DeGeneres 60. I'm not quitting drinking. Ah. And then she said, now Kevin Hart, please forgive him. And then Anne Hathaway said, okay, I forgive him. I'm sorry. All right, let's see. Jennifer Garner braves the weather in rain boots while her ex Ben Affleck steps out with their daughter.
Oh,
that's right, she was braving that rain. You know how Jen be doing, getting all brave in the rain and stuff. God damn it, video. Rain, hail, or shine, Jennifer Garner runs her own errands. And the actress did just that when she stepped out in the midst of a storm in Los Angeles on a Thursday. Let me pause this video because I'm sure it's making everything slowly load. The 46-year-old actress was spotted attempting to keep dry in a pair of striking rain boots and a rain jacket. Jennifer teamed the wet weather look with a pair of mid-wash colored denim jeans and carried her coffee mug around with her. The camping star accessorized with a pair of glasses and appeared to be wearing no makeup as she spoke on the phone. I will try to get these pictures out for you, Karen. I know that's what you care about.
You're right.
Here, it looks like this picture's loaded. This is her. Okay. The hoodie. It's raining. She got some galoshes on.
Oh, she got some padded and bare boots.
Mm-hmm. Not with the beauty was her new boyfriend, businessman John Miller, a 40-year-old divorced dad of two. So she was out by herself this time on the phone. The romance news emerged in November despite the fact they had been dating for the previous 6 months. Before dating the burger CEO, Jennifer was married to a fellow actor Ben Affleck. The Batman star was spotted on Thursday on the stroll with their daughter Serafina.
Every time you said I was one of Kabal's burgers.
Hmm?
Every time you say, wait, that man
works
at...
day works at Burger Eats,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, I even want to say Bob's Burger.
Ben kept warm in a gray sweater with a dark overcoat on over the top. He teamed the look with a pair of jeans, tan-colored boots, and a beanie. The actor was spotted walking hand-in-hand with his little daughter, Serafina 10, as they chatted on their stroll.
Oh,
isn't it so precious?
What do you think that conversation is like?
She probably telling them all about her mama new man. But that's adorable. He's looking good, man. Hopefully, hopefully getting out of getting off that alcohol and shit and drugs, hopefully it's helping him out, man.
Yeah, that's
look better than he looked in a long time.
Yeah, that's why I had to break up with that young chick.
Yeah, you can't be hanging out with these fucking 18, 19, 20-year-old models.
I'm trying to tell you who got the metabolism is sky high.
Well, that's just also prime, like, getting high age and shit. Late nights and stuff. Like, Ben,
the night starting at 2 a.m.
Yeah, Ben, you washed, homie.
Come on, join the club, dog. Join
the club. You got kids
and
shit. You ain't like Leonardo DiCaprio. You can be out there doing all that bullshit.
I mean, come on. Your metabolism done slow down. Come on.
I mean, I know it's a lot of pressure with all your friends getting divorced and shit, too, but don't do it. Ben and Jen announced their separation, and we gotta go through this again.
They love to bring that up, don't they?
Yeah, in 2015, after 10 years of marriage, they only finalized a divorce this past October. The former Alias star held off on the final legal stage of the split to support her Oscar-winning ex as he sought treatment again for his alcohol addiction. Jennifer and Ben shared three children, Violet, Serafina, and Samuel. So there you guys go. That's what they've been up to. It's one of my favorite white people couples.
Right?
Well, I guess they're not a couple anymore, but they do always be in some shit. Let's see. How about Jennifer Lopez?
Mm-hmm.
She offers up an eyeful while wearing very tight leggings during a Miami workout. After she hit a certain age, Jennifer Lopez was like, I'm actually back to showing this ass off.
All the ass.
I don't know when it happened, because like...
Yeah, because she used to be ashamed of it. She's like, nope, what I'm not going to do, because they used to pick at her, talking about how she was fat. And
yeah, it's a big joke, the big butt. You know, white people love making jokes about women of color having a big butt like that. Like, it's not attractive, and that's not what people are into.
Right.
Meanwhile, you know, they go out and try to imitate those same butts with plastic surgery and all kinds of
shots and shit.
Yeah, yoga pants. Like, everything they do is accentuate shit that women of color bend up on, and men of color that are attracted to that bend up on. But then here you are imitating it years later. So funny. But yeah, I remember when she got shamed for having a big old butt.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember when she was a dancer on Living Color. It was like, yes, who is that? Who is that one? Right, what's her name? She got a smoking hot body, not afraid to show it off, and Jennifer Lopez did just that while wearing all white. Ooh, that's bold. All white look for a fitness session with Bo Alex Rodriguez in Miami on Saturday.
Oh, she with A-Rod.
Yeah, she been with him for a while. The second act talent, 49, left little to the imagination while wearing the white hot workout outfit, which hugged her body head to toe. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's all up in there. Mm-hmm.
What they call that, camel toe?
you got camel toe working, you can see some little nipple outline. Like, she really set the, she set the girls out. She did not come to play. Like, are they married yet? Cause this nigga gonna fit ready to put a ring on this if they not. While her cropped turtleneck made a fine display of her chiseled center, the most provocative part of the outfit was situated below. J-Lo's snakeskin inspired leggings hugged
I didn't know that came snakeskinned.
Inspired. Every inch of her body was hugged and in between, if you know what I'm saying. The Anaconda star, who was said to be worth $380 million, added big hoop earrings and studded sunglasses for a glamorous effect, because she is still from the Bronx.
Okay? Come on.
She is killing this look, okay? For working out. She was like, she knew the paparazzi was going to be there. Like, listen what y'all need to see, okay? I got a story y'all need to cover, because it's uncovered. And they have a little excerpt about where she got the leggings from.
Yeah, for some
leggings by Naima sold. They're $88.
Is somebody gonna purchase them?
Yeah, I know they sold out after this.
You know they did.
I'm about to look like J-Lo. Like, you don't really want them problems, because you look like J-Lo. It's gonna be a lot of, you're gonna need the same bodyguard she got, because you know people was like, "Ooh, who's that?" That's her getting in the car.
And she is fucking fit.
Oh yeah, she's in amazing shape.
Ooh, I can't wait to get my 2.5 pack. She got all 6.
Balancing practicality and glamour, she pulled her hair up in a high ponytail. She sipped on a bottle of water while checking her phone on her way out. The day earlier, Jennifer shared a photo for No Filter Day. Lopez was most recently starred in a romantic comedy second act. Is that what that was? With her singing voice about to be showcased in 2 upcoming TV specials. It was announced on Wednesday that J-Lo will be among the performers in the 2-hour special Elvis All-Star Tribute, airing Sunday, February 17th. Elvis Tribute? They're doing that? Lopez also gearing up to play Rose Alvarez in Bye Bye Birdie Live, which will air sometime this year after being pushed from its original date in 2017 to 2018 and now this year. Oh, she killing No Filter Day. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's a fine woman, okay? It's crazy, man, because I remember when it felt like she really wasn't fucking with us, and people wasn't fucking with her no more. And I think Puff Daddy scared the shit out of her with that gun stuff. Mm-hmm. She was like, I got to leave these niggas alone. They out here shooting people. I'm an accessory.
Yeah, and truth be told, that's why Puff Daddy made them songs. I think he was hurt when she left.
Listen, she got 2 songs out of that nigga.
Come on, whole song.
I Need a Girl part 1 and part 2. Like, he knew. He's like, baby, please be big. I said, that man is begging. She must be something special. Let's see. Another white people news. Tom Brokaw says Hispanics should work harder at assimilation. Well, that's, don't get much whiter than that.
Ain't that the newsman?
That's the newsman. Yep. The worst part is I can't remember which of the newsmen is cool. Because, like, it's one of them that's cool, that's old, that don't give a fuck and hate Trump. And then.
That's right, yeah!
I don't know if he is the cool one.
I don't know.
Do y'all know if he the cool one? Am I thinking of another one? Is this the same dude that be like, man, fuck Trump?
Dan Rather? Somebody said.
Oh, Dan Rather the cool one. Yeah, that's right. Dan Rather the cool one. They all the same to me. On Sunday, during an appearance on Meet the Press, Tom Brokaw reiterated that he caught what he called his long-held belief that Hispanics should work harder at assimilation. Yeah, dog, that's racist.
Yep, that is that simple.
It's like,
what are we talking about here?
There's no two ways about it.
No other way around it.
I saw the video for it. It's not fun. It's not supposed to be funny. But we do laugh at racism on the show. Even when it's to black people.
Right.
But I saw the video for this shit, and the way he said it, oh my God, it made me laugh so hard, because he really thought he was helping himself.
Aww.
Cause like, he parsed it like, you know, and I have said this for a long time. Okay. So I'm like,
you were dropping knowledge.
I was like, hold up. Don't that just mean you've been racist a long time? Like, you didn't, mm-hmm. It's not like you said that. It's not like when I, if I say like, Steph Curry is the best shooter in the NBA. And I've been saying that for a long time. Like, okay, oh, it lends me credibility. Like, yeah, Rod's been saying for a long time, Steph Curry is the best shooter in the NBA. And now he is, and everybody sees where I knows what he was talking about. No. When you're saying some racist shit, you don't want to say, I've been saying this for a long time. You don't want to, it's not the time.
I've been doing this shit for years.
I've been calling them niggas since before it was cool. Okay, I'm a hipster with this nigger shit. Okay,
I'm OG nigger calling.
I mean, I go way back with the nigger calling. Okay, so I think you'll understand when I say the problem is on both sides.
For real, I go way back when you used to throw them on your back.
They used to throw me on the back, and I say, "Get me over to that side of town." Okay.
No.
That's how back I go back with the shit. Okay, and so a lot. Let me just tell you. That's what the real problem is. It's not just the racist white people, which I'm not one of, okay?
A lot of this we don't want to talk about, but the fact is, on the Republican side, a lot of people see the rise of an extraordinary, important new constituency in American politics, Hispanics, who will come here and all be Democrats. Also, I hear when I push people a little harder, I don't know whether I want brown grandbabies. I mean, that's also a part of it. It's the intermarriage that is going on and the cultures that are...
Okay, I gotta stop two things. One, they don't all become Democrats.
No, they don't. Ask people, you know, down in Florida.
Exit polls don't lie. We not catching all them. Okay. The other part is those people are racist. Oh, Republicans, they don't want their baby, you know, their word, the children gonna intermarry because they're racist. You see what I'm saying? You see why we can't really like rely on them as people we can reach. They don't want brown grandbabies, and it's a chance that they already have some preconceived notion about brown people. No? Okay.
Cool.
My bad. Back to the video, though.
Conflicting with each other. I also happen to believe that the Hispanics should work harder at assimilation. That's one of the things I've been saying for a long time. You know, that they ought not to be just codified in their communities, but make sure that all their kids are learning to speak English and that they feel comfortable in the communities. And that's going to take outreach on both sides, frankly.
And Congressman Peter King.
And nobody questioned him. Nobody was like, hey, that sounds racist.
I guess that's one that some of that accidental racism LL Cool J sang about. Because, bruh, you sound racist to me.
The problem is nobody else. The problem is white people don't want to assimilate. That's the problem. Everybody else actually assimilating, whether they want to or not, because they don't want to get fucking killed. What are we talking about here?
Yeah, you talked about interracial marriage. My God. Yeah, so it don't get much whiter than that. That's like the whitest privilege to even say some shit like that.
Right? Fucking assimilation. Do you know what that means?
They come here, they're speaking that wiggity jiggity. I don't know what it is. I mean, come on. Just right, stop voting Republican. Just vote Republican and they'll let you in, okay? Speak English, goddammit. What's wrong with him? No,
they might say speak American. That's so you show how ignorant you are.
And by the way, the reason you know that this shit was racist, white people are tripping all over themselves to talk about how good a man he is.
Don't
which let me tell you something, there's nothing that says this motherfucker definitely racist more than white people telling me he not. I'm like, oh, he got to be racist. Nothing can be like, dog, white people are tripping. Oh, he's a good man, and a man I know would never be racist. Like, well, the good man you know just said he been saying this shit for a long time. Did he say it to you? Are you cool with them saying it? Maybe you part of the friends and the reason that he thought he could trot this out in public.
Come on.
Cause, I could have told him a no, no, ixnay on the ace rape, homie, what you doing?
Yeah, nobody wanted to get caught up in the conversation. That's why she pushed the conversation. I'm like, I'm not touching that one. All right.
Well, somebody did. They did have a woman on the panel that went back later and, confronted him about it. And it was like, as a Latina that does speak English, the fuck you talking about?
Come on.
Which is good that they had somebody like that on the program. It's why diversity matters, but also it's trash. Mary J. Blige displays her very youthful figure in a pink bikini as she celebrates her 48th birthday in style, drinking sun-soaked Mexico break. Oh, wait, during the sun-soaked Mexico break.
That's what I'm talking about, Mary.
Yeah, listen.
Mary done got fit.
She lost 210 pounds in that divorce.
Yeah, she did.
She has never looked back.
Mm-mm.
Her prosper, she's definitely like fucking her physical trainer. I don't know who he is, but some young man is tearing at the smithereens, because my God.
Come on. I'm trying to tell
set
you.
Set them free indeed.
If I looked a fraction that good, you can't tell me shit now, but if I looked a fraction that good, you really couldn't tell me shit.
Oh, you do look that good. I don't know why you're tripping, but okay. If Mary J. Blige sent temperatures soaring as she shared a series of her scenic getaway in Los Cobos, Mexico on Saturday in celebration of her 48th birthday. The family affair hit maker set pulses racing as she exhibited her incredible youthful looking physique in a pink animal print two-piece.
When they say we don't crack, they mean that shit.
And they don't it's not even the same animal. It's like cheetah on one side, and then like zebra on one side, and then like leopard on the bottom. Like, she just got all this.
All the prints.
All the animals. She letting all the animalistic imprints, come out. Displaying her washboard abs and toned figure, the singer posed up a storm in her skimpy ensemble, which featured a plunging halter top, halter neck top, and matching bikini briefs. Mary ensured all eyes were on her while striking a series of sultry poses on a rock and captioning her images, "Living my best fucking life."
Yes, Mary!
Nothing like a late divorce to get you snap you right back, ain't it? The No More Drama songstress caught the eye with her striking accessories as she donned massive gold hoop earrings and protected her eyes from the sun in a pair of bedazzled frames. Turning heads with the bold display, Mary wore her voluminous blonde tresses in a half up, half down style and showed off her radiant complexion with minimal makeup. This is some of the best describing the Daily Mail's ever done for a black woman.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to them. They normally fuck this up somehow. And my God, she is
gorgeous. Ooh,
look at them thighs. Oh, she got greased up before she did this too.
You know she did. All that suntan lotion. Yes.
In 2017, Mary released her first album in 3 years, Strength of a Woman, which climbed to number 3 on the US Billboard 200 album charts, making it her highest charting release in nearly a decade. During an interview with The Guardian at the time, the songs discussed regaining her life after her divorce from former manager Martin Kendu Isaacs. I know he liked these photos on Instagram.
Yes, he did.
He was hitting that and was still cheating. Nigga, what is wrong with niggas? Dicks are trash, dog. Dicks are the worst. Who wants these? When they, like, what'll make you do something that dumb? And I know it's always every woman, this is man, she getting on his nerves. Nigga, Kendu Isaacs don't deserve no Mary motherfucking J. Blige. Whoever he's fucking with now is not fucking with Mary J. Blige. Get the fuck out of my face. Niggas be downgrading because of dick all the time. Consistently. When it comes to music, it's like playing 21. That's what dick is like. Dick is, hit me. Hit me. Oh, busted. Goddamn. Lost everything. Oh, shit. When it comes to music.
I should have stopped while I was ahead. I had 18. Fuck it.
I better split this hand. Oh, hit me. Oh, I busted twice. Goddamn, lost everything. And the dick is like, just get one more hit. When it comes to music now, I know my gut is great. That's what I lost, my gut and my gift. But I got it back. It's back now, she explained. Mary split from her husband of 12 years, Kendu, in 2016, with their divorce being finalized in June last year. She was at the beach for like an auntie party. All the aunties with her. All women, too.
All the aunties.
All the sizes represented. I see you, girl. They out there. I know they had some fun.
You know they had a fucking ball.
They should have made them.
They rented the whole house out.
Yeah. They should have did them a twerk video like Cardi B.
Yeah, you know they wasn't at the hotel. They was like, nah, girl, we gonna get the house.
Mm-hmm. Reflecting on her shocking split, the singer said in Essence Fest 2016, the journey that got us here is that every woman can relate to, a woman out there fighting for her marriage. When I first started writing my album, I was fighting for my marriage. There were a lot of layers to me peeled back for this marriage. I really thought I did find the love of my life. Being Mary J. Blige, the celebrity, is secondary, and I'm a human being first, and I suffer just like everyone else. Being Mary J. Blige, okay. Revealing she turned to prayer, the New Yorker added, I believe that I wasn't given the career or this job as a singer or the gift from God to sit down and say, I'm going to suffer from the world and silence and die, and it's therapeutic for me as well, so you know that's why. Yeah, she also about to be in that Netflix series, and now I'm like, you got a new scene? What's over that, sis?
Netflix series?
Was she playing like a hit, like an assassin? You haven't seen it?
No.
That meme of her holding the gun? You haven't seen any of this?
Mm-mm. Well, if I did, I forgot, but I don't think I seen the trailer for it.
Alright, but yeah, I don't know when it comes out. Why did I use a G instead of a J? Anyway, Netflix. I'll see if I can find the trailer, but
okay.
I don't know when it comes out, but now I'm like, we might get a sex scene from a 48-year-old Mary J. Blige, and didn't know that was a thing I needed in my life, but now I'm like, I might need to see. You know, Netflix sometimes go rated R with it, so I might need to see what's going on with that. So I guess it's the Umbrella Academy. Okay. Maybe that's the one, because they got Mudbound, but that came out
like
2 years ago.
That in chat room said that's the name of it.
Okay, yeah, so yeah, Mary J. Blige in first Umbrella Academy trailer. Okay, let me see, can I find videos? Yeah, because these are articles like, watch the first thing, like I just want to see the Umbrella Academy. Okay, watch trailer for Mary J. Blige's Netflix series. Oh, they really calling it hers? Oh no, the Greek. Okay, so Madame Noir wrote an article and said that, so I guess, you know, as black people, you know, we got to be like, it's a black person in this? Well, it's their show now.
Come on, that's why I'm here.
Like, I don't know if she the lead or not. I hope she is, but even if she not the lead, you know how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
we would do that shit in a heartbeat, man.
Oh, yes. Them the rules.
Oh, man. Yeah, watch the trailer for her Netflix series, Umbrella Academy. She's headed back to Netflix for her next big acting endeavor. The queen of hip-hop soul has snagged a role in the Netflix series, The Umbrella Academy, and the trailer has just arrived. She plays Cha-Cha, an assassin that can travel through time and has a thing for torturing her targets. Ooh. The show's synopsis describes Cha-Cha as a pain artist who is sadistic and sociopathic. The only one that can get to her soft side is her partner, Hazel. Yo, that sounds pretty
interesting.
Dope. I mean, I'm the one that watches all the Netflix around here, but I'm gonna be watching this. I know Karen gonna skip it. Don't try to blame it on white people, because this is Mary J. Blige's The Umbrella Academy. So when you don't support this black woman, don't you try to put it on whiteness and, oh, I saw white people and walked out the room.
Well, I'm not gonna lie. I support black people. It's a lot of shit I support and never watch. It don't mean I don't love what they're doing. I support you.
You support them from afar.
Mm-hmm. And will cheer for them to win, even if I ain't watched it. I don't care.
Like a deadbeat parent, y'all.
Yep. I'd be like, ooh, that's hot. But no, I'm not going to watch it.
Mm-mm. I ain't coming to your recital.
In October 1989, 43 women around the world gave birth.
Oh, of course. None of the... Just take your time.
Netflix. These women had been pregnant when the day first began.
How much do you want for it?
I have adopted 6 children. Gifted with abilities far beyond the ordinary. I give you the Umbrella Academy.
Wait, did it pause or did it?
It did.
Okay, I don't even know what just happened, because it wasn't over. It just stopped. God damn it.
No, that's the first time I've seen that.
Well, I'm in. I mean, it's Mary J. Blige, and you see what she's looking like these days. That's all I need.
Come on. A trainer got her fit for the Umbrella Academy.
Yeah.
She's out here being an assassin.
She gonna put the ass in assassin, I see.
Come on.
Alright, let's do, we gotta do sword ratcheting so we can get out of here, because Flash is on tonight.
I feel better, thank you.
No problem.
Best to end it on some Mary.
Hopefully I have plenty of white starlets for Chris Lambert to watch it as well.
Look like they do.
Chris Webber is in the newest season of Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, by the way.
Yes, he is. He's on the credits. Go check him out.
And our girl Raisani, I don't know what show it is. She was on The Writing Room, and I saw Issa Rae in that Writing Room.
Mm-hmm. We see you, girl.
The girl who plays Tiffany was in that Writing Room.
Mm-hmm.
Listen,
everybody blowing up.
Our
y'all.
People, look. We know our people. We pick our peoples. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Our peoples is doing big things. New Yorker grabs samurai sword to defend against alien invasion. God damn it. The electrical explosion that sent a blue flash streak across, he is white, across the nighttime sky left one Queens resident so terrified he grabbed a samurai sword thinking hostile aliens were about to invade. I ran into my parents' room and shouted, "Get up, it's happening," said Spencer Pessy, who lives close to Con Edison's Astoria substation at 20th Avenue and 32nd Street. I swear to God, I thought it was aliens. It also looked like a nuke attack. Pesky was on the couch catching up on Netflix around 9 p.m. Thursday when a piece of equipment 20 feet in the air malfunctioned, sending 138,000 votes. What's wrong with me? Of electricity coursing to the ground and creating a reaction known as electrical arc flash.
Oh, that was that blue light everybody seen. Okay.
I looked outside. It was bright as day. It was flashing blue. And there was like a humming, like a giant machine starting up, you know, like a giant alien spaceship starting up, like what you see in the movies. Pesky, 26 years old, first stashed a weapon within easy reach and ventured outside. Yeah, let's go take the fucking metal sword out towards the electricity.
Oh, get electrocuted.
Other residents were gathered to take in the awesome sight. I grabbed the samurai sword, left it by my door, put my boots on, went outside. If it was aliens, I was going to defend my family. Nigga, if they can come to the earth and shoot lightning, your fucking sword is going to do nothing.
Dead.
What are you talking about?
They're going to stop in New York and then go to the rest of the country.
Oh, our one weakness, swords. We didn't think of that when we were traveling across the fucking galaxy to go to this planet and take it over with lightning.
Oh, no, our weakness, metal.
Right. They got swords. What? Why didn't nobody tell us? Well, hop back in the fucking galaxy cruiser.
I can levitate down, but oh, no.
Put the phasers away, guys. This guy's got swords.
Right.
I don't know what the aliens want, he said. Yeah, because there were no aliens. After 2 minutes, the light went out and word spread that the strange occurrence originated at the Con Ed location. Everyone retreated inside their homes. It was pretty scary, he said. I was prepared with my samurai sword just in case the aliens were hostile. All right, guys.
Oh, he'd have been the first one to die.
That's it for today. We'll talk to you guys possibly tomorrow. If not, then Saturday for the feedback show. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate y'all. Until next time, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah.